Wendy, you missed a magical moment this morning. You know Steve Bertrand, who does news.
Nice to meet you, Steve.
Hi, Wendy. How are you?
Steve came down in his pajamas with the flap in them. His hair all disheveled, his eyes bright, and he said, "This is like Christmas for me." The
Santa
Iowa
was
caucus.
Here, yeah.
It was like Santa just came by.
You did tell me that, and my first question was, what is wrong with Steve Bertrand?
Nothing's wrong with Steve Bertrand.
How is this exciting?
How is this not exciting? Are you kidding? We've been talking about this for a year. This is the first big hurdle. There actually are legitimate unanswered questions that will be answered tonight. This is great. I'm not kidding you.
This is Christmas for Steve. This is Steve's Christmas.
Wow, I'm sorry you have such a bad Christmas.
Will the youngsters show up for Bernie? Will the organization work for Hillary? Will Ted Cruz be able to survive? And will Marco Rubio overtake him?
Steve,
You are adorable. Wow.
Open
Can
your
I
small
tell you
presents
it's
first. Open the small ones first,
okay.
And we'll go toward the big ones.
We'll start with Mike Huckabee and Rand Paul.
All right.
Rand Paul could have a big night. You never
know. That's exciting news.
But realistically, at the end of today, this is what people keep saying. When this is over, when Iowa's over, there's only going to be three standing on the Republican side and two on the Democrat side. Is that true or not true?
Well, two on the Democrat side for sure. And
did you,
you
see
know,
the pictures of O'Malley's rally?
No.
Did you see these?
No, I didn't.
It's not.
The O'Malley
not pretty.
Rally?
The O'Malley
and the
rally.
And the Raucous Caucus?
Was it a minivan
was
rally?
Was not well attended.
Right.
That's sad.
Yeah.
I guess it really is.
Yeah.
I mean, when I ran for, you know, class president.
You had more people at your rally than he did.
And the whole class head was locked in the building at the time, right?
There's pictures there, and it's just, you just feel for the guy, and there's a list on the wall that says things we need, and it's a long, long list, and then at the end it says, and a victory in Iowa is written in, the rest of it's typed, and that's just written at the bottom. And it's stuff like paper cups and snacks, and this is what we need. We need something. And there's just nobody there. It's just
and so it's different too in the Democrats because you have to prove your viability in the primary for the Republicans or the caucus is different than for the Democrats.
How do they prove their viability?
Well, we're going to talk on the Business Lunch. Lynn Hicks is going to be on. He's been on from time to time. He's the opinion editor of the Des Moines Register, but we'll talk about it. But so when you go into the Democratic caucus, as I understand it, you have to have, like, I think it's a 15% floor to be considered viable. So they say, hey, everyone, how you doing? All right, if you're for Hillary, you go to this room. If you're for Bernie, you go to this room. If you're for Martin O'Malley, well, how'd you get in? No, you stay here. And so if you don't have 15% of the support there, so which would presumably be O'Malley in a lot of places, then they would have to choose another candidate. So they'd have to choose between Bernie or Hillary.
Which was the question that Chris Cuomo asked him toward the end of the debate last week, was exactly that.
About who he would support?
Yeah. Over who, if he doesn't get the 15%, which way would he send his supporters? And, you know, I think he played it right by saying, well, I hope that that's not what happens. I'm not looking for that.
Right. Well, so then, and this is what I don't quite understand, there's a movement, they say, among some Clinton supporters to actually try to make O'Malley viable in certain precincts. And by doing that, they could hurt Sanders.
Because it waters down the vote a little bit?
I guess so. Maybe it reduces the delegate count. I really don't know. I'm going to try to get an answer today. But then for the Republicans, they don't have to do that. They just show up, say the Pledge of Allegiance, and then they vote. But just imagine if you had that 15% or that viability floor for 10 Republican candidates.
Right.
Wow, that could be exciting.
That would be a scramble.
Well, since this is your Christmas, will you share the Christmas spirit with us? Mm-hmm. And we have some questions about Iowa.
Okay.
Can we take a break and hopefully you have the answers? I'm sure you do since this is your Christmas.
I will give it my very best shot.
All right. If not, make something up.
All right. We'll come back. We're talking about the Iowa caucuses and other topics. If you'd like to jump in, please do. It's 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. It's Christmas for Steve Bertrand. Why? Well, it's cheaper
Iowa
to buy
caucus.
Presents after the holiday. That's one.
And it's cheaper to buy Iowa T-shirts and baseball caps. Although, are things escalated in price now that everybody's in Iowa?
Oh, I wonder. Maybe. There's a possibility.
You mean the Hawkeye gear and the ski Iowa T-shirts and all of that?
Yep. Corn.
Corn. Horn is up.
I have to ask you a question, and I will sound stupid, but you know what? If I don't know the answer to a question, oddly enough, I ask a question.
Ask away.
Why is Iowa the place where this caucus resides?
Well, because they're the Iowa caucuses.
I know that.
Okay, next question.
Actually, Seriously, how did they determine that Iowa was...
It kind of started in the early 70s, and then Jimmy Carter is the one who sort of put the Iowa caucuses on the map, because it wasn't a real big role player in nominations until 1975 and 76, and he went to Iowa and was really going to sort of make a stand there and surprise a lot of people with how well he did it. And, I mean, as I understand it, then that sort of set the modern-day early primary campaigning. So it goes back to 76-ish.
But, Steve, was it always that Iowa made their state decision before the others? Not so much in a caucus way, but in any kind of a way? Why would Iowa be the first state?
Well, it must have been the first one then, because that's why Carter focused on it, you know, to make a name for himself.
Yeah.
And I know subsequently there was a time when the states were like fighting to then become the first, and they were pushing it up and pushing it up. And I think New Hampshire might have a state law that it has to be the first state primary. So if South Carolina were to set their primary for February 2nd, by law, New Hampshire would have to be
first
or something. I mean, but you know, four years ago, I think, where the Iowa caucus was like January 2nd or 3rd. I mean, it was right after the holidays. Yeah, they've delayed it a bit this time.
Because of leap year.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah, I think that is it, Wendy.
I do have something according to Newsweek.com, and we can talk about this. Why Iowa goes first. These are five things you should know about the caucus, the Iowa caucuses.
The Hawkeye caucus. Bing, 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 bing. If
like
somebody
it.
Doesn't already name it that, we should name it that.
It's much
perfect.
Like our hockey talkie.
it's a work in progress.
All right. So you were absolutely right, Steve Bertrand. Iowa's first in the nation status is an accident of history. Traditionally, the caucuses were held in the spring, but in 1972, the Iowa Democratic Party moved the caucuses to January because of local scheduling conflicts. The GOP followed suit in 1976. Iowa has gone first ever since. Awed by the national media's wall-to-wall coverage of the caucuses, the Iowa legislature enacted a law that requires the caucuses to precede all other presidential nominating contests by at least 8 days. Accordingly, whenever other states attempt to skip the head of the line, Iowa moves its caucus state forward.
That's how they operate.
That's pretty interesting.
They're crafty.
All Iowa, all the time. the parties have steadfastly supported the Iowa caucuses, although critics point out that the state's population is far smaller, more rural, and less diverse than average.
I didn't
know
that about Iowa.
The national parties have turned away every effort to supplant Iowa's first-in-the-nation status.
And Iowa's entire population is only about 10% bigger than the city of Chicago.
Isn't that something?
Seriously.
Yeah.
That just seems
it's
weird.
It's so spread out. And, you know, when I did stand-up, I used to work in Iowa, and this amazed me every time I was in Iowa. You know how in Chicago, if you go to a neighboring suburb, when you're done in that suburb, like say you're driving away towards, you know, towards the opposite of Chicago, there's another thing and another thing and another thing. Like in Iowa, when you're in any of the bigger cities like Des Moines or Cedar Rapids, the list goes on and on. Once you leave the city limits, there's just
nothing
in any direction. It's just empty. It just stops. I mean, there's farmland, but then that's it. Forever. It's the weirdest thing. It's like the city just stops right here.
That's it. Forever.
You just look around and you go, I'm not used to this. I'm not used to the earth being flat where you just fall off the edge of the planet when you get to the end of it.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Are there any hilly regions like we have Galena?
Sure, absolutely.
No.
Yeah. Along the Council Bluffs?
No.
Along the Mississippi?
Well, actually, yes. Okay, yes. There is. But through the rest of Iowa... It's so incredibly flat.
The caucuses are not an election. Again, this is from Newsweek.com. Contrary to popular impression, the Iowa caucuses are not a traditional election. Duh.
Yeah, it's done completely differently there.
The term caucus simply means a meeting of members of the same political party. Although historically most states used caucuses to select presidential delegates, today the great majority of states opt for primary elections. Iowa is a prominent exception.
Mm-hmm.
This is interesting. The caucuses have a strong track record of predicting the Democratic nominee.
But not the Republican. Not the That's Republican. The weirdest
right.
thing.
That is weird.
And, you know, okay, let's think of this. The Democrat, I mean, they picked Barack Obama. They picked John Kerry.
Yeah.
Jimmy Carter. Walter Mondale.
But Bill Clinton did not win in 92, but he lost to Tom Harkin, and Harkin was an Iowa senator. So that's the reason that happened.
John Kerry upset Howard Dean in 2004.
Remember Howard GL?
Yeah.
Scream?
Where he just kept mentioning states?
Yes.
We're going to go on to New Hampshire. We're going to go on to South Carolina.
Yeah!
I think he did all 50 and the District of Columbia.
And so when has there been an upset? Because this, an upset rather, because according to
Bill
Newsweek.
Bill Clinton on the Democratic side was the only one I can think of. Were there more?
Well, if history's any guide, the candidate that prevails in Iowa on February 1st will likely be the Democratic nominee. Pretty much almost
I'm
every time,
huh? I don't know about that. I mean, well, if that's what it says, I guess. But, you know, in this case, Bernie Sanders is running pretty well against Hillary Clinton. He's doing very well in New Hampshire. But there aren't many people who think Bernie Sanders is going to win the nomination or has much of a shot at the nomination.
So, Steve.
Because nationwide and in the South, she is much, much stronger.
So in a scenario, let's say Bernie Sanders beat her tonight. Let's mm-hmm. say Bernie Sanders comes out on top of this. What does Hillary Clinton's camp do differently? Do they get more on the offensive toward him than they've been? Is that their move if that happens?
Well, they have a little bit in the last week or 10 days. They've been a little more negative toward him, or they would say pointing out the differences. You know, if she loses in Iowa, she won't get the boost that she would need to compete really in New Hampshire. So I think that they would go to South Carolina, and Nevada's in there too, but especially South Carolina would be the firewall. She leads him by quite a lot there. And, you know, if she can, you know, and these things that we, you know, we always focus on what's next. Iowa's next, but in 3 weeks, Iowa's going to have been a long time ago.
Right.
So a lot of this will have been forgotten. Her goal, if she loses in Iowa and New Hampshire, will be to start winning, racking up the wins in the South and maybe even Nevada, too, to where, you know, he doesn't seem as viable as he did after an upset win in Iowa. I think it still would be an upset if he wins today in Iowa.
I can see why this is your Christmas now.
Oh,
I mean, it is kind of exciting.
Look at Steve.
It's so
He's got
exciting.
Glitter all over him and wrapping paper attached to him. I don't know where that came from.
And think of it. You have to go. It's not like voting, you know,
right.
where you stop after work. You have to go to this place
where
at
they
7
are.
O'clock. They close the doors if you're not there at 7, and then you have to stand there for a while till they meet. Not only that, Wendy, in the Democratic one, it's not a secret ballot. Like I said, you know, Bernie's people go here, Hillary's people go there, so you're in a precinct, so you're there with your neighbors, and you have to say, oh, yeah, that's right, I'm with Hillary, and they go over, and then, you know, Bill left, your neighbor goes, oh, I'm with Bernie,
mm-hmm.
and then everybody knows who supported everybody else. It's just a really unique thing.
It is pretty cool. The fourth thing, according to Newsweek.com, the caucuses have a very poor track record of predicting the Republican nominee.
Rick yeah. Santorum, Pat Robertson.
Isn't that
Mike
strange?
Huckabee.
Yeah.
Well, it's a...
It
well,
was Huckabee what, last time, right? 4 years ago? Was it Huckabee?
Santorum, I think, last time, and then Huckabee
Prior
8 years
that.
Ago. But, and, you know, that's the thing to watch here because those three names I just mentioned are very religious conservative men.
Yeah.
And so that's why you would think a guy like Ted Cruz, he's really playing to them, would do well. But Donald Trump, who you would not consider a conservative religious man, I mean, he may be, but this is not his demeanor.
He just went to church, Steve.
He did. I know he did. 2 Corinthians. But he's doing well with the evangelicals. So, I mean, this could be a change.
He wants to invest in Corinthian leather. That's why he went to church.
Fine Corinthian leather. Since 1980, Iowa Republicans have accurately predicted the GOP nominee only twice. Bob Dole in 1996.
Right.
George W. in 2000. In every other caucus, Iowa Republicans chose candidates that flopped outside Iowa. In the fifth one, you'll be hearing about Iowa and the general election, too. Although social conservatives dominate the Iowa Republican Party, the state as a whole is politically moderate.
Hmm. There are a lot of socialists there. There are a lot of people in Iowa who identify themselves.
That helps Bernie Sanders,
as
obviously.
A socialist, yeah.
Yeah. What about these stories about how his fundraising is reaching epic proportions? What's behind that?
Well, he's got a lot of little people. And when I say little, you know, he's got a lot of small donations.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, reminiscent of what Barack Obama did. He may have exceeded Obama in a couple of cases, but so, you know, he's the candidate. He's portraying himself this way. And in many ways, he is of the little guy. So the little guy is the one giving writing him a check for $7 or $23 or whatever.
Or $20 million, which is what he made in January alone. Almost as much as Oprah made in a half an hour buying Weight Watchers.
I have nothing to say to that.
It's a lot of money, $20 million in just the month of January.
Yeah, but it came from hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people, Wendy.
Right,
that's the point.
Right,
isn't that something?
I mean, in this era where you've got the Koch brothers and Warren Buffett or whomever, I don't know who's giving to whom, you know, writing multi-million dollar checks to super PACs, a lot of Bernie Sanders money is coming in very small increments.
That's amazing.
That is pretty amazing.
It really is. All right. Do you want to take a call or two, or should we run?
Well, if they want to hang on, we can continue talking because we're all caucus all the time. It's the Raucous Caucus Station.
Caucus Talk. We're at 312.
What are we calling it?
Caucus Hawkeye. Talkie.
Hawkeye Caucus.
The Hawkeye Caucus.
If they want to hang, we can talk because
right,
some pretty good questions here. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. It's 312-981-7200. Back with Steve's News next, 720 WGN.
Steve, thanks so much. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. Iowa. Now, a lot of people are calling and texting to defend Iowa. We're not blasting Iowa in any way, shape, or form.
You were.
Well, it's just, it's weird because for 364 days out of the year, I was Iowa. It's fine. It's over there. You can go there if you want.
It's over there.
It's right over there. You just take I-80 and you get there. But then, like on this day, Iowa's the most important place in the country, and then in a day or two, it'll return to normal.
Well, that's where, you know, actually, it's been the buzz spot for probably six or eight months.
Oh,
I mean,
there've
been a lot of people.
It's been a while.
But I do wonder about that, Bill. You know, on Wednesday, it's going to be...
It's back to normal.
We've got the snow. And,
right.
You know, all these people who pretended to care so much about us
right.
just 3 days ago are gone.
Right.
I think I went to Iowa once to see my Aunt Elsie.
You're not even sure.
No, it was not very memorable. But Donna wants to defend it. We asked if there were any hills. You said absolutely not. Steve said yes.
There are, to be fair, there are some, but most of Iowa is as flat can be.
So is Illinois.
Yeah, it is. No, I know.
Donna, what do you think?
No, it's not flat. There's a bike ride that goes across Iowa every year. RAGBRAI. Are you guys familiar with that?
Mm. RAGBRAI.
Absolutely,
Steve.
It registers annual bike ride across Iowa. I've done it about 7 times.
Wow.
And Iowa is not flat. There are many, many hills.
But give me this part for most of
you
Iowa.
You can't be wrong, Donna.
All right, I'll just give in. It's not worth arguing about.
Mid-northern area is kind of flat, but when you get way up north and, no, it's not really that flat. There's some major hills in Iowa.
All right.
It's not Colorado. No, it's not Colorado.
Ski Iowa. That's what my bumper sticker says.
I had that sticker in the 80s. It was great.
Donna, somebody says Dubuque has one large hill. Is that accurate?
Oh, Dubuque's got a good one. And Clinton and, yeah, it's anywhere.
Got a good one. Okay, Don, even you have to admit that sounded funny.
If you're in the market for a good hill, you can't go wrong with the Dubuque Hill.
So are you there right now?
No, I actually live in Illinois, but I grew up in Iowa, and I've done the bike ride many times.
7 times.
Seven, yeah.
Seven. All
have
right.
you ever done the caucus?
No, my sister-in-law does a lot, but no.
Because I'm just... I want to know, like, what's going on. And someone texted, and Donna, thank you so much
Donna.
For calling. We appreciate it. Ride on. Somebody said, who votes? And I got to be honest with you, I don't really know who votes in this caucus.
Can I tell you a story, my personal story?
Sure.
Best man at my wedding is, because it's all about immigration and everything this year,
yeah.
is Dutch.
Yeah.
He's a CEO. He's run a company in Des Moines for, I don't know, 10 or 15 years. And he just became a citizen. So today, Rob is his first chance to vote, and he's voting in the Iowa caucuses.
Oh, nice.
It's another reason
Very
to be so
nice.
Excited.
That
yeah.
is, all right.
That is, okay,
There's
so
something to that.
Who votes? Again, you didn't really answer my
the
question.
The good people of
Rob,
Iowa.
Rob is voting. Mostly,
in addition
it's mostly
to Rob.
Dutch business owners.
No, anyone, it's like a primary, except you just go and you caucus, you don't cast. The Republicans do actually cast a bit of a ballot, but
Anyone can do it, like registered voter
in
Iowa?
You can register today to do it, too.
Wow, it's that last minute?
Which is something that helps Bernie. Well, yeah, why would you try to keep people from voting? It's weird that you would, right?
Well, no, we understand that, but we thought that there were some laws. That
right, because in other places you can't do that.
No.
Why do they allow it in Iowa and not in any other place?
Apparently they think you should be able to vote and they make it easy.
I guess.
Some states make it hard. But you can go there the day of, if you can prove you're a citizen and prove your residency and eligibility, you can register the day and you can then vote in the caucus or move in the caucus. I don't know what you do in the caucus. You can caucus in the caucus.
You can caucus in the caucus. Now, a lot of places, Steve, have regulations as to how close a candidate can be to the polling places. Does that exist in Iowa?
Probably.
Because all the candidates are there.
Well, here's the weird thing. I was thinking of this morning because they were saying the Clinton campaign, they have a precinct captain in every precinct in the state. I think there are 1,800 or so.
Yeah.
Well, when you vote, you all vote together.
Right.
So that means that that precinct captain is going to be in the room with everyone from that precinct
wow.
that he or she's been working for 6 or 8 months.
You're really shedding some light on this, and I'm sorry I'm so unaware. Really, I hear politics, and I cover my ears and start going, la, 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 la.
Celebrate it, baby. This is a unique thing. I mean, you know, they're going to vote in New Hampshire next week. Everyone knows how you do that.
Yeah.
This is just a cool thing, I think.
Well, many people have questions, so I don't feel so alone now. Someone wants to know, is it winner take all delegates in the Dem primary?
No. And so, and in fact, I'm just emailing with a longtime email friend of mine from Iowa, and it's her job in a precinct tonight to apportion the delegates. So it's not, as I understand it, in each precinct, a winner take all. You assess your viability and then you proportion it out by the top two vote getters.
All right.
So it's not a winner take all. So it could be a case where, say, Bernie Sanders is really good with college students, right? So in Ames, in Cedar Rapids or Ames more, he could crush her.
But don't those students have to be registered as Iowa voters? If you're in from out of state, are you allowed? You're not allowed to participate in this.
I bet the majority of the Iowa universities. That's what someone asked. With all those universities out in Iowa, won't that favor Bernie?
That will favor Bernie. But here's the thing. So if he wins, and I could be wrong on this, but it's my understanding, if he wins 98-2, if everyone who loves Bernie mm-hmm. is in college, then they're all voting in a very small area.
Mm-hmm.
So they're voting in a small number of precincts. So that doesn't serve
him
well.
It would
be better if they were spread out around the state, right? So he could crush in the college precincts, but Hillary could win.
But with that strategy, if you're a bunch of college kids that really love him, wouldn't you go to an off-center place to
off-track betting?
Wouldn't you go to an off-track at OTB?
Go home to vote? Yeah, you could. It's
feel
February
the burn,
1st.
Man. Feel the burn. BERN. Hashtag. That's what everybody's saying.
What about Michael Dukakis?
I liked him.
Michael Dukakis rejected by the caucuses.
Olympia Dukakis?
What about her?
I'm speechless.
Steve's going to quit. She's going to quit.
She's calling a doctor right now. That's about her.
All right, back to the hills in Iowa, just to prove Bill wrong. I won't let this go. Kevin, what do you think?
I actually almost attended Loras College or Drake. So you guys are both right. Most of Iowa is flat.
Yeah.
But along the Mississippi.
It's like the Alps.
Oh my goodness! So your skiing bumper would be correct. You go down the hill, Bill, and you just
hillbilly.
When you hit the river, you just hope that it's frozen.
Right.
Otherwise, you're going to be one of those videos of people skiing down and then going into a non-frozen or broken up.
Yeah,
that's an epic fail.
I don't want that. No one wants
that. You're both right. You're both right as you always
well, thank
are.
Thank you,
right.
Kevin.
Tell me this, because somebody just texted Kevin and said, I just got back from canvassing in Dubuque, and I felt like I was in San Francisco in parts, walking up and down very steep streets. True or false?
True. Where did they say they were in Iowa?
It's Dubuque.
It's not like San Francisco in Dubuque, Iowa. Nobody would think that.
No, on that one hill it is.
There's the streetcars, and you can take in a Giants game.
Rice-a-roni?
And there's Rice-a-roni.
Well, the streetcars there are just pulled by you know, out of work people pull you up and down the hill.
Right. It's very kind of them. Thanks,
thank you,
Kevin.
Thank you for the laughter. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you for the laughter, Kevin. You're
very
funny.
No one in the world is going to confuse Dubuque, Iowa with San Francisco. That's impossible.
Dubuque.
It's not. It's not possible.
It's like a hate Council Bluffs region.
Quick break, and then, Steve, you can answer this text or comment. 630 says, you're wrong on all that. All the college students have to call home where they cannot vote from the college.
Okay, well, let's check on that. Yeah, I said I'm perfectly willing to be wrong on these things, but it's the way I understand it.
All right.
Okay. If we had a system here in Chicago, it would be called a carcass, since dead people have been known to vote.
It's a carcass caucus.
Speaking of harmonious states, all eyes are on Iowa. The most important place, the mountain-filled Iowa. You've seen the postcards of people up in
San
the
San Francisco light.
It's very similar to San Francisco, Wendy.
Not.
Steve is just giddy in the newsroom. He's just giddy, I tell you, with
giddy
all the
up.
Excitement.
We're gonna make some popcorn tonight. Watch the, you know, and again, it doesn't take long either. You know, we'll know by 9:30, 10 o'clock.
The precincts are all in, right?
Right.
But very early, relatively early.
It's all done. It's all tied up in a bow, and then we go on to New Hampshire.
Steve, we talked about the Democratic side and what if Bernie Sanders upsets Hillary Clinton. On the Republican side, do you see any of the AKA also-rans, any of the non-big threes, really making a stand tonight? Is there a chance?
Well, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how Marco Rubio does and in comparison to Ted Cruz. I mean, Cruz has had a rough 10 days or so. He's been sinking a bit. At least it looks that way. I mean, if he can reverse that and beat Trump, that would be a huge win for him. If not, I think the question is who among the also-rans does well. I mean, you know, maybe Rand Paul will pick up some of the Liberty voters that are moving away from Cruz.
Also
Rand Paul. Right.
At what point do they start disappearing, other than your leader, Mr. Trump, and other than Marco Rubio, and other than Ted Cruz, when do the other ones start disappearing? Is it after Iowa or after what they call Super Tuesday, or when?
I don't know. I mean, New Hampshire's just a week away, so a lot of the establishment Republicans who, you know, kind of wrote off Iowa are mm-hmm. banking on New Hampshire, so they're not going to go anywhere before New Hampshire. After that, you know, a lot of them, like Jeb Bush, has a lot of money. And I think a lot
no
of
votes.
Them, no votes, not many, but a lot of people are still thinking that this Trump thing won't survive, so they're sort of loath to get out before they find out whether that's true.
What do you think, when Jeb Bush announced his candidacy, prior to his announcement and then right up into the actual announcement, I'm never going to say he was odds-on favorite to be the Republican choice, but everybody kind of thought he's going to be right up there.
Right.
What didn't happen that should have happened that would have made him either the leader or one of the leaders?
You know, I think Donald, it just was a remarkable year. I mean, it's just been this anti-establishment sort of thing. You know, I mean, Bernie Sanders on one and Trump on the other. So a guy with the name of Bush, you know, that doesn't lend itself to that.
Yeah.
You know, I think he sort of expected people to gravitate toward him. I mean, I remember when he announced, someone who watches all of this very closely, who I respect, said, well, the adult just entered the room.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we all thought.
Yeah.
But, you know, Donald Trump took all the oxygen out of that room and never exhaled. So he's still holding on to it.
It really is the strangest thing I've ever seen politically, isn't it?
Well, one day Donald Trump's going to say something that's a little off color, and it's going to, oh, no, wait, that's happening.
That's the thing, is he keeps doing that over and over and over again, and it not only doesn't make a dent, it seems to make him more invincible somehow.
He has said several things that would have sunk any other presidential candidate
sure.
in history.
Sure.
Can I tell you something? Despite his lavish lifestyle, according to InsideGov.com, the Donald has never had an alcoholic drink, a decision influenced in part by his brother's eventually fatal battle with alcoholism. Did you know that?
Here's the weird part. I will say this honestly. That's very admirable. I like
that.
Yeah,
no, he said
that's shocking to me.
He said he knew early on that based on his personality that it wasn't going to be a good fit for him, and he decided based on his father and brother You know, in what they taught him, he said that, I would never do that.
I'm voting for Trump.
That's why he's leading, Wendy.
I'm voting for Trump.
A lot of non-drinkers are supporting him.
Mr. Trump has had three wives more than any other.
And everyone else is drinking.
Right. Just to make sense of it all.
Three wives more than any other 2016 candidate.
Concurrently? All at the same time?
No.
Separately?
Ivana. She was a Czech American athlete. She was an athlete?
If it says it on the internet.
And a fashion model, that I know. Marla Maples. I forgot about
Marla
her.
Marla Maples.
And current spouse, Melania.
Yes.
A jewelry designer.
Of Slovenian extraction.
Trump
Slovenian
is
like San Francisco, by the way. Did you know that? It is.
Again, these are some things we don't know about Donald Trump. Trump has what?
Well, you had that question about the colleges, and I looked it up.
Yes, okay.
So a student, you can vote. You have to choose. I mean, you can't obviously be registered or vote in both, but you can choose to vote where you go to school, or you can choose to go home and vote where you live.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Excellent. Thank you for the research.
Well, thank the Secretary of State of Iowa, Paul D. Pate.
Thank you, Paul D. Pate.
Paul D. Pate. Paul D. Pate. Mm-hmm. Trump has seen four casinos go bankrupt, a fact that debate moderators love to bring up. Nevertheless, Trump has emerged largely unscathed, thanks in part to tax and bankruptcy loopholes.
Right. And so what he says is, look, I'm following the law. Everybody goes bankrupt. You know that everyone goes bankrupt. And that has been sufficient. Not you've left your creditors in the lurch.
Right.
You know, people have lost their jobs. It's like, no, I'm following the law, and everybody does it. It's the law, everybody does it. Well, maybe they do.
But I can't imagine.
But it would have cost other people.
Just the mere act of having a casino go bankrupt seems suspect to me, because it seems like they're printing money at casinos. If you look at the odds.
Remember a dear friend of ours, Spike Manton, had a coffee shop that went belly up.
It did.
How does that happen?
That, well.
Location.
I guess, I don't know.
And wasn't this kind of before Starbucks?
It was, during Starbucks becoming popular.
But
with
happens.
A casino, look at the odds. The odds are in the house for the house in every single game. There's not a single game that you can play in a casino that the odds are in your favor. It's all the house's favor. I don't understand how a casino could go bankrupt.
Giving away too many free drinks or food? The buffet took them under.
Maybe the buffet brought them down. I bet it was the buffet.
All right. Well, we have more fascinating Donald Trump facts that we will share throughout the day. How's that?
I like it.
All right. Cool. 312-981-7200. Quick break, then news, and then cookie.
Right. The people from Insomnia Cookies are here. News is next, though. Bill and Wendy, WGN. All right. The next segment or two, you're going to hear a lot of gushing from Wendy and myself.
And moaning.
A lot
I will
of moaning,
be moaning.
A lot of gushing. Farrell pauses here, the director of the Great Lakes region, for a cookie that is unlike any I've ever had before. Mm. They've got this. Oh, are these so good? It's Insomnia Cookies. Now, here's a little background, Farrell. My daughter and I, Kylie, went to a Blackhawks game a couple of weeks ago, and on the way home, we drove through Rogers Park by Loyola. And I saw Insomnia Cookies for the first time, and I didn't know what it was.
What
is this? I said out loud. And she said, well, this is a new thing, and tell me if this is true. They're opening all over the country, mostly on college campuses, not exclusively, catering to people who want or need a cookie, a nice hot cookie, anytime from noon to, I believe, 3 a.m., right?
Yep. So our stores are open from 11 to 3 a.m., and then we deliver from noon till 3 in the morning.
How many people that you deliver to are not high?
What time of day are we talking
about? All right. Well, I guess after midnight. Don't answer.
You don't have to answer
but
that.
But how great would that be? Okay, first of all, just to, you know, a bag of Oreos is good if you got some in the house.
Sure it is.
But having, hey, let's order some hot cookies. How are you going to get that? Oh, go to Insomnia Cookies. They're warm.
Oh, and that's how we deliver them warm. They're in-store warm. We keep them in warmers, so you get a nice fresh hot cookie every time you come in.
They're so unbelievably good. You brought us an array of flavors. Go through some of the flavors, Farrell, that you brought up. What are they?
So we have traditional cookies, which we brought you an assortment of. There's peanut butter, oatmeal raisin, mint chocolate chip, double chocolate chip, sugar, snickerdoodle.
I'm seeing a snickerdoodle.
She's like, and mine.
Every one of them are delicious. There's not a clinker in the bunch.
I know. And then we start LTOs. We call them limited time only cookies. And our new one is red velvet. So I brought you some of those as well.
What's in there? White chocolate chips?
Yeah, and like little pieces of cheesecake.
All right.
I don't smoke pot anymore, but I'm going to start.
Who's the genius behind this? Who came up with insomnia cookies? Because you got to think
awesome.
They're going to get the Nobel Peace Prize this year,
don't you? I would hope so. He's awesome. His name is Seth. He's in Philly. He started it when he was in college. It's been 13 years later. This is where we are today.
I always wonder in a case like this, like if a guy like Seth, he's a college kid and he goes, I wouldn't mind a hot cookie. It's 2:30 in the morning. I would love to have a hot chocolate chip cookie. How does he turn that into a business that's not just working, but working big? You've got how many locations across the country right now?
83
what? In just a couple of years, right? This just started a few years ago.
In 2003.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. And it feels so small town because we are in random college towns. I mean, yeah, there's multiple in Philly and New York and soon to be a growing thing here.
So what? But my nephew lives in New York. What? I'm sorry. I have a warm snickerdoodle in my mouth.
What, he's enjoying a cookie right now?
I forgot I was on the air. I'm sorry. Forgive me, listeners. If I have a nephew who lives in New York, could I like do a gift? Could I call a New York location and have it delivered just as a surprise?
Yep. So you can do it on our website or you can actually call in and order it. You can get it delivered. You can, even if you have, we don't have stores in California, but you can get cookies shipped to California. We have a, like a shipping.
And
program.
What better way to mess with somebody who's already paranoid than to send them a cookie and not say who it's from? Just put a note just from somebody who's watching you and that's it. I think this is
it's funny because Valentine's Day, we get so many people that order for secret admirers or people who are not expecting it, and the notes that they attach to it, they're hilarious.
That's a great idea.
But it comes in what looks like a pizza box.
Yep.
And so they're not going to be scared to eat it. It says Insomnia Cookies, 877-63-COOKIE, insomniacookies.com. I mean, you'd eat that, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Even if you didn't know who it was from?
Oh, yep. Absolutely. And on
especially
Valentine's
when you see
Day,
it's warm.
Yeah.
You put a little note on there, want some nookie, enjoy a cookie. Everybody wins in this. Come on.
That's awesome.
This is going to work.
All right. Terry, your husband just spoiled this Valentine's Day gift to you. But now delivery, how does that work? You don't deliver far, right?
No, it's about a mile out from each store.
And that's only because the people who deliver the cookies are on bikes.
Yep.
Right?
Of course they are.
So it's like the old days.
Of course.
It's like the 1800s when cookies were always delivered on bikes.
Do you know how many bike messengers are out there listening right now going,
I know.
I wish I was delivering these cookies.
Come on down. Feel free.
The ones right now, you've got one by Loyola right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's in Rogers Park.
In Rogers Park, yep. 6470 North Sheridan.
The other one's in Lincoln Park.
Yep. 2260 North Lincoln.
The new one's going to be in Wicker Park.
Yes, that one I do not.
So if the city has park in the title, like Orland Park will get one eventually.
Maybe.
Park City, Utah.
I guess it's a good thing. You know? Parks, there's...
Overall, of all the locations nationwide, what's the percentage that are on or near college campuses as opposed to not? I have to think most of them are by colleges,
most
right?
of them are by colleges.
Yeah.
We're just slowly but surely getting into the city store atmosphere just because, I mean, they're city. Of course, they're going to do well. But we definitely stay with the college.
I'm telling you, I live in LaGrange, and I can think of times where I'm up at 1 or 2 in the morning, and I would like a hot cookie, and
what
I don't feel like
better?
Baking. And these are all franchised out.
Nope, all still with the company.
Oh, really? Is this? Could somebody buy stock in this company? Because you guys are going places.
We are going places. Not that I'm aware of, not of yet.
And I'm selling my Apple stock, and I'm buying into Insomnia Cookies. You guys are the future. Sorry, Apple.
Why don't you work part-time for them on
your
bike?
I would do that.
Because the person who ordered the cookies would get an empty box every time.
You know what they would get? You know how when kids leave cookies for Santa, and there's just a couple of crumbs? I would just deliver a couple of crumbs to their dorm room.
Should have seen the red velvet. It was really good in whole form.
Sorry. Yeah, or just take a bite out of it. It's fine.
Oh, that would be funnier.
Just tasting it.
They come this way. I swear they come this way. I swear to you.
Had to make sure it was fresh.
Her name is Farrell Paz, Director of Operations of the Great Lakes Region for Insomnia Cookies. Lincoln Park, Rogers Park, Wicker Park is coming soon.
Yes.
Right? Many other locations. What did you say? Like 83?
83?
Mm-hmm.
83 locations nationwide.
You deliver cookies, you deliver milk, both regular and chocolate, I'm hoping?
Regular chocolate, skim, strawberry, 2%.
Oh. Eggnog during the holidays?
No, but we could try it out.
Might want to think about it.
No one likes eggnog but you.
I love eggnog. What about, you said that there's ice cream.
Is
yes.
A,
yeah?
What? They vary per location, just depending on what the managers want to throw in the mix or holidays they want to switch it up.
And you could make an ice cream sandwich if you yes. wanted to. You could put the ice cream between the cookies.
Oh, yes, oh my God.
How about that?
Because then you can mix and match the cookies if you want.
One side cold. Something, you know, you could do yeah. peanut butter on one side, chocolate yeah. chip on the other.
Yep.
The ice cream's cold. The cookies are hot.
I just love the faces. That's awesome.
Just the Seth Berkowitz. That's the dude.
Mm-hmm.
I want him to run as president. Can you go to the Iowa caucus?
It's too late for Seth Berkowitz to be president. Be honest.
Yes.
All right, well, awesome. Listeners, you got to take part in this. InsomniaCookies.com. Really, though, a sweet little gift to give to maybe your son or daughter or loved one is out of town for Valentine's mm-hmm. Day, and you go to the website, InsomniaCookies.com, find a location, and if they live within a mile mm-hmm. of the location, the little Insomnia Cookie people will hop on their bike with their little heat packs. It's yep. like a pizza pack kind
it's
of thing.
It's a miracle is what it is. Would they, like, for a price, would they go a little past the mile? Would they do a mile and a tenth or something if you gave them a couple extra quarters? What
you know,
would they
it's
do?
It's funny because we've had people meet at the edge of a range. They're like, we'll meet you at
that's
the corner.
That's not funny. That's totally believable.
Oh, and it's hilarious how they're like, no, wait, like, we're sorry we live a block out of the delivery range, but I will walk. They're like, if you call me when you leave the store, I will walk to that 7-Eleven at the
you
corner.
You honor that? You go there. Through with that?
Yeah.
Why not?
Why not?
It's the greatest invention known to man. I'm sorry. It really is. A warm cookie?
The name yeah. alone, like when I saw it, I'm like, boy, it all makes sense. They're yeah. up late. You're up late. Why not? Make this work.
Yeah. Wait, you have an app? Because if you're not ordering through the app, you're losing points. You have cookie dough?
Yeah, so it's app. So you can gain points every time you place an order. Every dollar you spend, you earn a point. So once you hit 100 points, you get $10. Or you can rack them up or you can spend them as need be.
Do you know how long it would take me to get 100 points? 3 minutes. Who's got 1,000,000 points? I could top 1,000,000 points.
Has Seth won any awards? I'm serious because really, this is like awesome. An invention and a company all rolled into one.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. Everybody's so happy. Even everybody underneath Seth, we're all just...
Really?
It's funny. We're cookie people. We love cookies and yeah. making people happy. And it's awesome.
And do you personally bake them?
I do not personally bake them. I go in and I have
You oversee people, it?
I could bake them. I, yeah. could,
I don't like
know,
to bake.
I love baking, though. I would eat them all. Once I see them on the trays... I want to eat them.
Since you're out of my area, how much for you to come over to my house and make cookies between noon and 3?
Do it.
We'll see.
Well, continued success. This is such a great idea. Insomnia awesome. Cookies. Her name is Farrell Paas, the director of operations for the Great Lakes region for Insomnia Cookies. Lincoln Park, Rogers Park, coming soon to Wicker Park, many other locations. Best way to find out is go to insomniacookies.com. Great, great,
thanks,
great.
Thanks, Farrell. Great Thank meeting you. These are outstanding. We'll take a quick break. Some of us will enjoy a cookie or two, and then we'll come back. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. I picture, like in The Godfather, a meeting of the five cookie families. Mrs. Fields, Famous Amos, the Keebler Elves, Maurice Linnell, and the people at Insomnia Cookies trying to find some peace, some common ground. We don't want cookie wars, do we?
No, we don't. I can't stop eating, so could you just talk to... Farrell, right now.
Sure. Absolutely. Have there been problems with Famous Amos or Mrs. Fields? Have they come by? Have they said, hey, stop business. We can't have this.
Not that I know
Everybody's
of.
Been nice? All right, good.
Somebody has a We're question nice for you. So we ask you to come back because Mike wants to know something. Mike, this is Farrell Paas, director. Insomnia Cookies, man, this is so amazing. Do you have a question?
Yes. They sound great. I'll have to check it out. I live in Rogers Park. My question was whether or not you guys had a chance to do any kind of market sales research pre and post marijuana legalization going around the country. You know, I mean, for example, Denver, Washington State. Have you done any kind of study like that to indicate how your sales are affected by legalization of pot?
You know, I have not. I could definitely ask our marketing department, though.
They should look into that.
They should open right next to dispensaries, like Absolutely. Right next door.
You know how Dunkin' Donuts is always with Baskin-Robbins? You should have Insomnia Cookies with a pot dispensary.
Well, you know, there was a story not long ago about a little gal selling Girl Scout cookies out in California, and she set up her table next to a dispensary. and she sold something like 300-400 boxes of cookies.
I saw that. I'm not gonna
who was the pothead, her mom or dad, that suggested that? Because that's a great idea.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway,
smart
okay, well.
People. All right, Mike, insomniacookies.com.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you so much.
Now, just for clarity reasons, I've never smoked in my life, and I there's times where I just want a cookie late at night. This isn't just for people smoking dope.
Nope.
Of course
we've,
not.
We've done events with women who are pregnant, and their husbands will come and pick up some cookies for them.
Oh, is that a good idea? That's a fine idea.
For anything. I mean, we've done them for weddings.
Have you?
Yeah,
oh, that
for
would
late
be nice.
At night, like you know how like people order pizza or something in the middle of their wedding reception, or like at the end of the night, they want to keep going, but they need a little extra sugar to keep going, and they're like, "Hey, we'll do that for like the last 2 hours of."
And
their-
do you do cookies like you do your standard cookie-sized cookie? But do you also do? I've been to places where they have cookies the sizes of pizza. You do that too,
we
right?
We do a 10-inch cookie cake, and then we have sugar decals that we put on top, so it says, "Sorry, your day sucked. Happy Valentine's Day. Thank you." Any of those. We have a bunch of options.
Wow. This is genius.
We have so many questions now. Somebody sent us a picture of a cookie that each picture frame is less and less. A bite is taken out. Cost. How much? It's you can't just get one cookie. I would imagine there'd be a minimum.
Not for delivery. For delivery, it's a $6 minimum.
But
so that's how many cookies?
And then it's $80 for delivery.
Oh, that seems steep. No, it's nowhere near that.
No, it isn't.
What, so what, if you're getting the minimum, which is a $6 order, how many cookies would be involved in that?
So it's like, it's $1.60 per cookie.
That's not bad.
That's it?
That's not bad at all.
I mean, and you could get a couple cookies and a milk and get it delivered.
Okay, that's good.
That's more than the crappy cookies you can get in a vending machine.
Yes, it is.
I'm not kidding. Is there a cookie store in Normal, Illinois? ISU, checking in.
Yes, Normal, Bloomington, there's one.
There is.
Yep.
We have them in Champaign-Urbana at the U of I. Love them. Do they do gluten-free cookies?
Not yet. We are trying to figure out a gluten-free, vegan-friendly cookie. So it's on the way.
It's very popular.
We want to make sure that's the right thing. We've put a lot of time and effort into these cookies to make sure that's the right mix of everything.
Sure.
So.
There's one in Madison, Wisconsin.
That one just opened not too long ago.
And there was something that I wanted to tell you. This is Alex and Jody from Lakeview just admitting that it was us that met the Insomnia delivery bike a block away. Farrell was talking about the range. It's about a mile. And if it goes over that, some people have met him. Alex and Jody from Lakeview. Our place was a block out of the delivery range. We walked to meet him. Well worth it.
It seems nefarious, but it's not. It's it's perfectly on the up and up.
Perfectly, perfectly good. Okay, normal, cool.
Insomnia cookies, a great way for parents to send cookies to their kids at college. I've sent them to my son at U of I for his birthday, during finals, or whenever I wanted him to know I was thinking of him. I'm going to cry. That's
it's
really
beautiful.
Sweet.
This is a beautiful story. Awesome.
There was an episode on Seinfeld where a Chinese restaurant wouldn't deliver across the street, so Elaine ordered and waited in a storage closet.
Right.
Also, they delivered cold milk with the cookie, nothing better. And this one is my favorite. You guys suck.
Okay.
I am staring at my granola bar lunch and wanting a hot cookie.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
Understood. Understood.
Well,
have that person audit a class at the university. So
is the cookie girl married?
I am not married.
Oh.
Have a boyfriend that I've been living with.
Sorry, 224. No can do.
So close.
All right. Well, Farrell Paz, Director of Operations, we said goodbye to you, but we had to bring you back because there were so many
more retainer.
Questions.
You're on cookie retainer for Wendy and me. If we ever
that's
need a cookie or a cookie
if you
question.
Need a cookie fix, I got it.
That's perfect. Thank you for all this. This is amazing. Visit them. Visit Insomnia Cookies. Two locations, a third on the way. Back after this is Bill and Wendy, WGN. Every week, Eric Zorn comes in and has a different adjective to describe him. Today's adjective is absent. The absent Eric Zorn. He's not here. Mary Schmink, his colleague over at the Chicago Tribune, filling in for him. Hi, Mary. Nice to see you.
Hi, Bill. Hi, Wendy. Eric sent me an email last night asking me to tell you both. He's currently in eye surgery.
Oh, he is.
And when he is done, he wanted me to let you know that he will have X-ray vision and he will be able to see through you.
Okay, that means that he can see through our clothes, so we now have to do it on the phone with Eric.
No more in studio.
Wear good underwear from now on, Wendy.
I just bought new ones.
Well, Eric's goal has been for years to hold up a piece of bacon and be able to stare at it and cook it just by holding it with his eyes, and I don't think that's healthy. I think that's going to be the downfall of Eric Zorn. I really do.
Isn't that so funny, though, about wearing clean underwear. You know, your mom would tell you that in case you got in an accident.
My mother never told me.
She never did?
Really? My mother had 8 children. She never told her.
She's lucky you had underwear.
Practical. She napped a lot.
I can only imagine.
Mary, anytime I've known anybody to have more than 6 kids in the family, if you say I've got 8 kids like you just did, somebody goes, oh, that's a Catholic family right there. Is that the truth?
Indeed, yeah. It is.
Yep. The Catholic families tend to be a little bit bigger than
no birth
than the
control.
Other. Is that what it is? Yeah,
right. It
yeah.
is. No, it is no birth control. And you know, I grew up in Georgia, and you know, in Chicago, where there were lots of big Catholic families.
11, 12.
I don't think people were as astonished or felt as able to make fun of it.
Sure.
But in Georgia, there weren't a lot of Catholics. So
mostly Baptists.
People, yeah.
Yeah.
And Baptists, for whatever reason. You would think that the Baptists would have been using birth control, but they did not have families the size of the Catholic families.
Right. Isn't that something?
So we were just instantly identified as Catholic and mocked.
Just by the number of kids.
Right, exactly.
That seems unfair,
and
but I guess that makes...
how afford all those kids? I mean, the poor Catholic families
we
is
didn't.
What it was.
We were poor Catholic.
Did you have, like, gravy over everything?
We ate a lot of Spam.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah.
Fried, at least?
Don't get me started on Spam.
Oh. We did fried bologna.
Yeah, we did fried bologna. A lot of peanut butter and bologna was big, but that was just a Southern thing.
Together?
Oh, yeah. Peanut butter and bologna sandwiches. This was
did okay. Elvis
epic,
Jr.
epic gourmet.
I picture Elvis coming to the house every once in a while for dinner.
I'm smelling peanut butter.
My favorite again. Thanks, Mrs. Schmink. I'll be by every once in a while. The families that lived near us that had a lot of kids, like you, like your situation, they would have an early dinner or a late dinner. Like the whole family couldn't sit down at the table at the same time. So they would have like a 6:30 seating and an 8 o'clock seating for dinner. Did you guys do that?
We
or did
were not
everybody...
that organized. We, you know, the kids ate together. My father would not eat with us. So he ate later at a TV table.
Right, the TV tray.
In front of the TV.
The foldable.
And my, yes, exactly. Exactly.
Aluminum.
With the little snaps. Yep. Remember the aluminum? You just snapped the legs.
The brass legs.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Good memory.
We're Catholic too, although, you know, not good Catholics because there were only 3 of us.
So my mother basically never sat down.
Really?
Always yeah. serving.
Yeah. Well, I served too, but it's like, you know, by the time she was done with us and the time. By the time she was done with my father, it's like there was a TV table set up for her, but she was up and down
yeah.
getting stuff for my dad, as was I.
That's how it was, Mad yeah. Men Central.
Yeah.
You'd think they'd be too tired to have more kids, and yet that wasn't a problem. They just kept having kids.
If you don't believe in birth control, then yeah. you take what the good Lord gives you, right?
Sure.
Absolutely.
My mother didn't even have – she had her first child – just before she turned 30. She had her last child just as she turned 40.
Wow.
And then the good Lord said, Mary Ellen, I'm going to give you a reprieve here. You're going to enjoy menopause now.
At 40?
At 40.
Wow. Wow.
And how do you afford...
How did we get on this topic?
I don't know, but I'm intrigued by this because, you know, Catholic families have so many children and they typically go to a Catholic school where tuition is through the roof.
Yeah, and there were many years where we couldn't afford tuition. So we wound up in public school for a while when things were really, really bad. The great joy of my life, I remember getting to public school and going... oh, now I understand what fun is.
No uniforms.
There was no
boys.
Discipline. I'm really glad, actually, that I went to enough Catholic school to have gotten discipline. But I don't think I got in touch with any aspect of my creativity until I got to public
is
school.
Is that true? I'm
yeah.
surprised to hear
yeah.
that.
So it was actually a good mix, though. So, you know, I got the discipline that came from an early Catholic education.
Yeah.
And that's when you need the discipline.
And that's when you need the discipline. But then I got to public school and I was unleashed to just to laugh and mm-hmm. to be funny and to think funnier. I mean, not that I'm a particularly funny person, but it's like there was an aspect of my own sense of humor that I had no contact with.
So look at the benefit
public school.
In
the Lord didn't like to laugh.
You, your advantage was that you got to live both sides of that
to have
coin.
Both, right.
Isn't it sad that we can't somehow, and I'm sure there are schools that are able to combine the two, but they're few and far between. It's too bad that they can't figure out how to have both the discipline and the freedom at the same time, but I guess those cancel each other out.
You know, I haven't been in a Catholic school in a long time, so I really don't know if it's the same now, but I suspect schools back in those days were much stricter, much
sterner.
Well,
nuns aren't teaching now in schools. You know that, right? Those days are gone.
Right.
No nuns?
No more nuns.
None nuns.
No, they don't teach in the schools anymore.
And Bill, you went K through 8th Catholic?
I didn't go to kindergarten. I went first grade through 8th grade. Yeah.
Okay. And you were talking about something that only the Catholic kids knew about, some game, and I said maybe it's because you guys didn't have a gym. Do you remember what that was? I want to see if Mary Schmeek knows anything about this.
I'm trying to remember what the game
was. You touched each other on the head, or it was like some...
Oh, yeah, there's a game that we didn't have a gym, so we were looking for something to do for an hour when we should have been having gym. And there was a game that we played called Crisscross Applesauce, where you would... essentially, harm another person just by you would draw
you would
a cross
touch them.
On them. Yeah, there was a lot of touching going on. Hard to believe in a Catholic situation that was going on, but there was a lot of touching, and it was crisscross applesauce.
It's radio, so you can't see me raising my eyebrow.
Low
but you're aware
tight
of it.
Squeeze.
No,
oh.
I have no.
There was
idea.
A lot of.
Was this in Chicago?
Yeah,
I think it was just in your neighborhood.
No, because remember when I started talking about it, all these people from all over also had that at their school. You'd cross on the person's back. You'd grab them on the waist. You'd punch them in the kidneys.
And you'd break an egg, pretend egg over
you'd
their head or something.
Yeah, and the mortality rate was very high. Kids were dropping left and right because of this game. Did you guys
and
play?
And the one survivor became a radio host.
Right, I'm the only one who lives to tell the tale. Did you have a version of this
no,
game?
No, I don't remember that, though. I mean, you know, I've often thought about there is a cultural consistency to Catholic grade school education wherever you were, right? I mean, so I was in Georgia, but a lot of it was similar to the stories that I've heard.
And it was built on guilt primarily is at the center of most of what motivated us. Was that the
I
case
guess
for
at
you
least
guys?
That's the joke. That's the
No,
that's,
it was true.
It's not really guilt. It's just you're trying to make it into heaven. I mean, so you just, that scares you. It's fear more than guilt,
I mean,
I think.
For me, I would think of it more as just a fear of disobeying the rules that had been put in front of you.
Right.
And there were many, many rules that pertained to many, many things, right? Rules that pertained to cleanliness, rules that pertained once you got older to sex, rules that pertained to prayer. There were just rules.
Sure.
And you had to obey. Disobedience was the highest sin.
But there was the constant reminder, like we were told constantly all day, every day, that God is watching you. No matter what you're doing, you think you're doing it by, you think
even
you're getting away with that.
He's
in the bathroom. He's everywhere. And don't mess up because he's not going to be happy. Was that like a constant theme where you were as well? It would have to be.
Yes. Yes. It was. And my father, who was he'd grown up in Iowa. So he was a Midwestern Catholic, even though we were raised Catholic in Georgia. My father had grown up in Iowa, German Irish small town in Iowa, and then he'd had his first job in Chicago. So we got an overlay of that Midwestern Catholicism, even in our little Catholic, Southern Catholic.
Was your dad there for the caucus in Iowa?
I don't remember my father ever talking. I don't think the caucuses were as big a deal.
I don't think they were
until
back then.
The media decided they needed to protract this story forever.
Yep, so true. Mary Schmeek is here of the Chicago Tribune. Your calls, your thoughts, 312-981-7200. We'll come back in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy at WGN. A quick correction. I had said that nuns are no longer teaching in the Catholic schools,
they
but that's not
none.
Necessarily the case. There are some nuns teaching.
Hello, religious sisters still do teach and administer at both Catholic elementary schools and high schools. Archdiocese of Chicago, Joliet, Rockford, they're all good private schools.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Everybody I know whose kids go to a Catholic school has told me the same story, that all the nuns were gone. So I was fascinated by that. Mary Schmeek is here of the Chicago Tribune to talk about many, many things. One of them, Mayor, I know you just wrote about this recently, this is the idea that there's going to be more health training, more mental health training for our police officers. What do you want to say about that?
I just think it's a great idea. It's not going to solve all the problems that exist between the police and people that they're dealing with. But, you know, we've had a lot of cutbacks in mental health care in Chicago.
Way too many.
Right. So, you know, mental health clinics have been closed. The number that I keep hearing is 6 in some very poor neighborhoods, that there could be more coming. That there used to be, I think it was quite a while ago in Chicago, but other cities have these mobile health units that are not staffed by police, but they're staffed by people who actually have training in dealing with mental health. So if mental health calls come in, you know, from people who are just not criminal, but they're suicidal or they're dealing with some mental health things, you know, in other places, mobile health units can go out to the call. But here, the police wind up going out to these calls. So because there have been cutbacks in mental health care in other ways, the police are being called upon to handle a lot of stuff that they're really not trained for.
And this last recent thing where, you know, the police were called because there was a mentally ill guy who they ended up shooting, and they shot another member of the family, wasn't it?
Right.
Grandmother.
She answered the door.
Right. You know, the situation with that young man is still a little unclear to me, because some relatives have said he wasn't mentally ill.
And I thought he made a phone call earlier.
Yeah. So last week there were 3 calls that he had made
to
911. And, I mean, they're very upsetting to listen to, because you could feel some sympathy on both sides. I mean, the dispatchers were pretty curt with him, at least the first couple.
Yeah, he wouldn't give his name.
He wouldn't give his name, and he wouldn't say exactly what was going on. But, of course, when you're mentally ill, if, you know, again, I'm not completely clear on what his mental condition was. But, you know, when a mentally ill person calls 911 and says, someone is trying to kill me, but can't provide all the data, well, a mentally ill person is not going to provide you with all the data, you know?
Even a regularly functioning person may not give their name right away.
Right, right. So, you know, it's a very complex thing. So the idea here is that, you know, some people think it's just a PR move. I still think it's a good thing that the more police will be trained to handle, to understand the kinds of circumstances they may come across, to slow it down a little bit. I mean, that's part of it, is just slow it down a little bit.
So what would have happened differently? Let's say that these police officers who had responded had been trained the way that they now want to train these police officers. What would have happened differently? I mean, I know ideally that lady wouldn't have gotten shot, but what do
or
you do
him.
If,
well,
so,
again,
if somebody's,
you know,
coming
I'm,
at you
I'm
with
not
a weapon?
I'm not the person who's going to be training people, but someone might have been sent out to the call, to the house on the first call.
Yeah.
And before whatever was going on in the house had accelerated so much. Because the police in that, I don't want to get too hung up on that situation, right? Because I'm not sure that that's the ideal situation to hang the conversation on.
Okay.
But the police didn't go out to the house until the father called. After the young man had called 3 times, the police finally went out when the father called, and he did identify himself, and he did say, you know, it's my recollection, I hope I'm not wrong, you know, my son has a baseball bat, and he's at my bedroom door, and he's trying to kill me. That's my recollection of it.
And this is probably not that uncommon if you have a child with any kind of mental illness,
right.
Anger, depression, anxiety,
right.
Things can escalate. And as this little kid turns into an adult, I would imagine the police are called for certain situations like this more than we think.
Right, right. They're called for a lot of situations like this. So I think the key is to, again, it's very hard. Police are operating in dangerous situations.
Absolutely.
They have to respond really quickly. They don't know what they're walking into. They don't know if this person has a weapon. I mean, it is a really tricky thing. But under this plan, there will be more officers who go through this 40-hour training, so that in each district you have at least one person who has some solid training,
yeah,
who might be able to identify,
yeah,
the difference between the angry criminal and the disoriented mentally ill person.
Right.
Teachers should get this training, too.
Well, a lot of people, you know, I think we all need some training.
Someone just said all staff at Naperville Public Library have had or will have extensive mental health training. That's, I mean, we all kind of need it.
Except at some point, somebody will raise the question, who pays for all this training? That comes out of tax dollars, right? So that will that become a political issue over all the money's being spent on this?
Of course it will. But when you look at, you know, how much money the city is paying for inappropriate behavior of officers already.
Drop in the bucket? Yeah?
I just can't imagine that this, whatever this is going to cost the city is going to be
nominal.
Right. It just seems worth it. I mean, police officers, like the rest of us, need to understand better what mental illness looks like.
Yeah.
You know, part of the point of my column was that a lot of us have mental illness in our families.
Yep.
But until you've seen this up close,
no one understands it.
You don't know what it looks like. And so you think that somebody who is behaving erratically is just being willfully difficult, mm-hmm. is just behaving badly. But when you come to see that with a little bit of acquaintance with this, familiarity, you can distinguish. I mean, I'm aware of this when I'm out on the street sometimes. You know, I'll react to somebody mm-hmm. who's kind of acting out, and then I'll go, oh, no, wait. This looks like this close relative of mine.
It's an emotional wheelchair, so no one is seeing it. If someone's in a wheelchair, you see they have a problem.
Right.
This is an emotional wheelchair that sometimes people take the wrong way.
Right, right. So instead of just, you know, getting angry, just on a personal level, forget the police for a moment.
Sure.
Getting angry at that person on the bus or on the sidewalk for, you know, behaving badly. You go, oh, wait, that person is mentally ill, has a disorder of some kind. So rather than wagging your finger or giving a lecture or throwing a stone, you just, oh.
Out of their control.
I recognize it.
Yep.
And they need help.
Mary, thanks. Always great to see you. It's Mary Schmick of the Chicago Tribune Reader. Wag your finger at Mary. No more finger wagging, Mary. Those days are over. Thank you for being here. We're going to take a quick break and then find out what Steve has on the Wintrust Business Lunch next. It's Bill
Leff
and Wendy Snyder, of course, on WGN. Kim, thanks so much. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. The second half of our show starts right now. We're thrilled you're here. We're at 312-981-7200 if you want to call us or text us. We'd be thrilled.
What's going on in Iowa right now, do you think?
Cockamania. Cockapalooza is what's going on right now. I wish so badly, you know, the morning show is there and the afternoon show is there, and we didn't get to go. We drew the short straw.
Can I say thank God?
You're sad we're not, or you're happy? You're happy we're not there.
I mean,
I think it sounds so cool. I'm so jealous of Andre. I'd love to be there right now.
Come on, Wendy.
Come on, Wendy. It's cool.
Come on,
Bill.
People in Iowa are nice.
I go to caucuses all the time.
You are not a caucus guy.
If I hear there's caucuses, I go to the Builder's Square and I get myself a big thing of caulk and I head out there.
Do you have a caulk gun? Because
yes,
I have a caulk
gun.
Yes,
I do. Double barrel. Always ready to caulk morning, noon, or night. What is it about the process that you just don't want to be a part of?
I am a people person. I would like to go check it out. But
think about the excitement of being just yards away from Rick Santorum. That doesn't excite you? Come on.
No.
Not even a little bit. I'm shocked.
I'm trying to find my information, the things we didn't know about Donald Trump.
At this point, is it possible to not know things about Donald Trump? Really?
Yes, we found out earlier
he's been married 3 times.
Yeah, he has never had a drop of alcohol in his life.
See that? Oh, I'll be honest, I did not know that about Donald Trump.
And he said it's because his brother had a problem with drinking.
Right.
And
Jim Beam loves me. He loves me.
And his brother since died.
Oh, no. Did he really?
Well,
I didn't know that part either.
I said that on the air last time.
I didn't know. I was coloring. I didn't hear you say that.
I can't find it. So can I tell you, share a little story that happened over the weekend?
Sure.
Trump visits an Iowa church pre-caucus.
Yeah.
And
notice how religious everybody is now because they're in Iowa. We got to go to church.
Well,
he wouldn't normally have gone to church.
That's my question to you. Would he have done that on his own, or did he do it because he's making a statement?
That's why.
Well, he got a lesson in humility in Muscatine, Iowa.
Muscatines love me.
On the he was in church. He was in he settled into a fifth row pew of an Iowa church for a lesson in humility. And here's what I have to tell you that happened at the First Presbyterian Church. First of all, during the service,
he offered to buy the church.
The service, which Trump's campaign invited several reporters to observe, that's
really?
Why I went to church.
A press opportunity. I didn't see that coming.
Included hymns, readings, and a performance by the children's choir. Cream-colored stained glass in the window cast a golden glow. At one point, Trump shared a prayer book. Is it a missalette?
Probably is a missalette.
Shared a prayer book with Deborah Whitaker, an Iowa supporter seated to his right. She put her hand gently around Trump's waist as the congregation sang hymn 409, God is Here. Trump could be seen by some mouthing the words.
Yeah. Well, sure.
Then like a little kid in a preschool musical.
Right.
Just mouthing it. At one point, as churchgoers offered each other wishes of peace, Trump received warm greetings from those around him.
Mm-hmm.
When it was time to offer tithes, Trump was seen digging into his pants pocket. Two folded $50 bills were later spotted in a collection plate.
That was the smallest he had on him.
It is.
It is.
That was passed down his pew. But this is something that caught Trump's ear. A reading during the service about the importance of humility.
Yeah.
I don't know if this was directed to him, but here's what happened during one of the readings. And the pastor was speaking. Can you imagine I telling Hand, EYE,
yeah.
I telling Hand, get lost, I don't need you. Or hearing the head telling the foot, you're fired. Your
Whoa.
Job has been phased out, the reader said. You're fired, of course, was Trump's signature catchphrase when he hosted The Apprentice. Do you
sure.
think that was a little shout out to him?
I bet it was. It would have to be.
Trump later told reporters, I heard that when asked about the reference. I wondered if that was for me. They didn't even know I was coming, so I doubt it, but it's an appropriate phrase. Isn't that crazy?
They tailored the mask to him.
Yeah, they did. You're fired.
He was criticized because he was spending, I guess, less time in Iowa than the other candidates because he doesn't feel he needs to. And, of course, the story about him not doing the debate is infamous. I don't have to tell you that. But let's see what happens tonight.
All right. Well, can we take a break? And then I would like to come back and give you some little-known facts that maybe you didn't know about Donald Trump.
About Donald Trump? Yeah,
yes.
I would love to hear them. All right. Again, if you want to jump in, you know how to reach us, 312-981-7200. We'll be back in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. With Chicago Tribune Sports Plus, you can relive the best moments of the game anytime you want. Start your 30-day trial at chicagotribune.com/sportsplus. Donald Trump was in Iowa. He's still in Iowa. He was at church.
He still is.
Apostles love me. They love me.
I got to ask you, that is just so true. Did he go? I mean, of course he went just to show people
it's
he goes
PR
to
move.
Church.
Look, I'm just like you, the good people of Iowa. I'm a God-loving Christian just like you. Vote for me. I'm in church.
Because that is a religious area.
Very. Very, very.
That's a poser. Can you be a poser, a religious poser?
I think you can be a religious poser, yeah. So you know things about Donald Trump that the rest of us don't know.
Yeah, and you know, we talked about this a little bit in the first half of the show, and we didn't get to all of them, but things that we never knew about Donald Trump, zero alcoholic drinks. Despite his lavish lifestyle, the Donald has never had an alcoholic drink, a decision influenced in part by his brother's eventually fatal battle with alcoholism. Mm. I really did not know that.
Mm-mm.
He seems like a guy who would throw a few down. But no, he did that with women. He had three spouses.
Right.
And I don't mean throw them down and hurting them.
Yes.
Mr. Trump had three wives more than any other 2016 candidate.
Well, he's leading in that category too then. Good for him.
Chicks love
winning.
Me.
Winning.
Right.
You've got Ivana, Czechoslovakian American athlete and fashion model.
Yeah.
Can you look up what
sport she was involved in? I'll find out for you.
Marla Maples, television actress. She was so pretty. I forgot about Marla
that
Maples.
That didn't last long either, did it? That was just a couple of years.
And Melania, who he's currently married to, jewelry designer and former model.
That's what I do. I'm a jewelry designer and former model.
You can never leave it.
That's what it says on my business card. It must be true.
Four casinos gone bankrupt. He has seen four casinos go bankrupt, a fact that debate moderators love to bring up. Nevertheless, Trump has emerged largely unscathed, thanks in part to tax and bankruptcy loopholes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to know a little bit more about our Donald J. Trump. How tall would you say Donald Trump is?
I would put Donald Trump at about 6'1".
All right. Well, Donald Trump's height, according to most celebrity magazines, 6'2".
Is he 6'2"? I could see that.
But Donald Trump's height, according to Donald Trump, 6'3".
7'5".
Manute Bol.
So
huge.
Right.
That's right.
So he's telling people he's an inch or two taller than he really is.
All right. Trump's fundraising rank compared to all other 2016 candidates, 13th place.
Mm-hmm.
Consider that Governor Jeb Bush has raised 25 times as much money, and yet Trump continues to pull three times better than the Florida governor. Three times better.
Now, there's a rumor out there that he's paying for his entire campaign himself. Steve, that's not true.
Well, it shows. No, because I just saw a number where he's raised millions, I think, with donations and when he's asked about it, he says, well, it'd be an insult to turn it back.
Sure.
These people want to be part of this, and, you know, I'm not going to insult them by returning the money.
Right. All right. Where'd the music go?
The number of Trump-owned golf courses listed on Trump's official website. Any guesses? How many golf courses?
How many golf courses does Donald Trump own? I'd say, go on, Steve.
I'm
going to
say 13.
Boy, I was right. I was going to say 20.
16.
16, yeah. All right.
And how many bedrooms in the Trump Palace, the Donald's Palm Beach, Florida mansion?
One. It's communal.
Huge.
It's huge.
How many bedrooms? I'm going to go 12.
17.
Oh, Bertrand wins the Price is Right showcase because he did not go over 18 bedrooms.
18 bedrooms.
In the Trump Palace.
He deserves it.
The lowest Trump has been in the national polls since August.
By lowest, do you mean saddest?
No, percentage-wise.
Bluest? Are we talking blue?
I'm going to say his lowest would be 23%.
You went over.
Am
otherwise,
I over?
Otherwise, 22.8. I know it's close, but you went over.
You always round up.
I didn't go yet. I didn't go yet.
No, Steve didn't go yet. Go ahead, Steve.
22%.
22 for Steve.
Bertrand is the winner.
Did he win? Oh.
You've won Carol Merrill.
I was so close.
The lowest Trump has been on the national polls since August, based on the Real Clear Politics polling average, 22.8%. Other than Dr. Ben Carson, no other GOP candidate has come within 5 points of Trump, even at his lowest.
Well, Gentle Ben was there for a very short time early on, but that was
he came the closest.
And now no one's within 5 points of Carson again.
Right. That's true.
All right, making this a little local, you and Bertrand do the Price is Right showcase. Right. Tell me the cost of an in-room water bottle at Trump International Hotel and Tower, Chicago.
Steve, you go first. How much does it cost to get a bottle of water at the Trump Tower?
In-room.
$7.25. Five.
Oh, man. I'm going to go $11.
Up.
It's more than $11?
$25.
For a bottle
of
water?
No way.
The cost of an in-room water bottle at Trump International Hotel, it's in the mini bar. If it's in the mini bar, it's always... Because you know what? Some of us don't know that when you get to Jamaica with your girlfriend, Marianne, and you're young and stupid and maybe you had too many red stripes on the plane...
Who are we talking about here? You?
I don't know.
Could it be you?
But no one, you know, who would expect that you get charged for the other red stripe that's in your room refrigerator? You think it's just a welcome.
But red stripe is beer. Water is water. That's
I know, but what I'm saying is the red stripe or anything in the survey bar or the refrigerator.
Price is jacked way up.
Huge.
Sure, of course it is.
It's huge. $25, huge.
No wonder he's so rich.
$25.
Wonder doesn't need donations.
All right, now the price. You guys ready for the Price is Right again?
Yeah.
If you go over, it's disqualified.
All right.
The cost of Trump vodka, if you can find it, the brand was discontinued in 2011 following poor sales.
For a bottle of Trump vodka?
It's got to be more than this. This is probably a shot. Knowing him.
Steve, what do you think? It's a shot of Trump vodka if you can find it.
No, it's a bottle.
It's a whole bottle?
$73.
No, see that, Bill?
$300.
No, $31. That's what I'm saying.
It's $30.
That's low.
It was discontinued in 2011 following poor sales. But
that's only $6 more than water.
You're right.
It is. That doesn't make sense.
Wow. The percentage of Trump campaign contributions coming from small donations, less than $200. Small donations are often a sign of grassroots support from everyday voters. Bush, 3%. How about Donald Trump? Percentage of Trump campaign contributions coming from small donations.
Steve, you want to take a shot?
Well, it's going to be high because he's not soliciting big donations,
You're
I don't think. So I'm going to say 72%.
Everything's way too high.
Really?
Yeah. I was going to say 14%.
42.
42?
You both suck at this, can I tell you?
I'm not good at this.
When it involves Trump. all right, here we go. How many stories? The height of Trump Tower in Chicago. Do not Google it. Some have called it the tallest residential building in the world, though technically the building doesn't qualify as it houses both apartments and hotel tenants. How many stories? He's looking at it right now.
I'm going to go to the window and count the, I will count the stories.
Steve, do not Google.
79.
What's with you in the 70s?
I'm comfortable with 70s.
All right, no, it's more or less.
It's less. I'm going to say it's less.
What?
Is it less? It's not?
Why would it be less if it says it? Some have called it the tallest residential building in the world.
Bill, I think it's more.
It's probably more than.
Yeah.
Two stories?
That's impossible.
98.
That's not it. I'll get it.
Try again, Wendy.
Come on, try again. You're on the right track.
How many times wealthier is Donald Trump than the next wealthiest 2016 candidate?
All right, so
Carly Fiorina.
I was just going to say, who other than Carly Fiorina would we be talking about? She'd be the only one.
How many times wealthy is Donald Trump?
Oh, it's got to be at least 25 or 30 times more, right?
You will die when I tell you.
Is it more than that? Is it?
And I don't do math, so you guys can figure out yourself. This is from insidegovernment.com.
Well, she had a great Hewlett-Packard payday, but not for long. It didn't last too long.
And the payday was at the door.
Right, yeah. Right.
Well, still a payday.
Yeah, I'll take it.
It's more than 25 or 30 times more than she has, yeah?
How many times wealthier is Donald Trump than the next wealthiest 2016 candidate, Carly Fiorina?
Steve, you want to take a stab at it?
I'm going to say 74.
169 times wealthier.
Wow. Man.
He's worth $10 billion.
All right, so again...
That's sick.
If you're making that kind of money, what interest would you have in spending 4 years in the White House instead of amassing a bigger fortune than that? And I know people will go, well, because he's already amassed a fortune, now he wants the challenge of being the president. If you were making that kind of money, what would you care about being the president?
Because what else is there? You have all the money in the world. Now add to your business resume, president of the United States.
It's a big, super cool thing that money can't buy. Well,
right?
Maybe you can buy it.
It is buying
indirectly,
it.
Yeah.
It is.
All right. In feet, the length of the yacht Donald Trump had to sell in the early 90s to pay off a giant American Express debt. And the yacht provided the cash. Length in feet of the yacht Trump had to sell in the early 90s.
I'm taking myself out of this one because I don't make any yacht guesses.
Come on, Lovey.
I don't mess with yachts. Steve, you're on your own on this one.
What's the question? How big is his yacht? How many feet?
Yeah, that he had to sell in the early 90s.
237.
Ooh, you are just right around there.
How close?
282.
Wow.
That was pretty close.
That's a win in my column.
How many times bigger is his yacht than Carly Fiorina's yacht?
I love this joke.
I can't tell you the punchline on the air. Off air only on the punchline.
She doesn't have a yacht.
She
has a canoe.
Yeah. That's the joke. That's the punchline.
Average number of Trump tweets per month. There's
involving Rosie O'Donnell or not involving Rosie O'Donnell?
Any of the tweets. Active Twitter.
Well, at this point, it's just criticizing everything. So I'm going to say.
Average number of Trump tweets per month.
So let's say 300.
Very
close.
Is that close,
Steve?
322.
This is the one time you should have gone in the 70s. 371.6.
I still win.
So that's about 12 a day. He's averaging about 12 a day.
Oh, my God. That's a little more than 12 tweets per day.
Yeah.
How do you do the math that quickly?
I'm like a robot.
Can you come to my house when I order pizza to tell me how much to tip the guy?
Yeah, I'll do that. Robots love me.
And here's a true or false question. And then another math.
All right, this is true or false.
Yes.
Can I use that letter that's like, it could be a T or it could be an F that I used all throughout my collegiate career? Can I use that, please?
Yes. Right. That didn't work in college.
It didn't work in college,
in
but
high school,
in high
did.
School it always worked. The T.
True or false?
Yes.
Does Donald Trump have a star on the Walk of Fame, Hollywood
True.
Walk of Fame?
I know he does.
Steve, what do you take?
Oh.
Does he have a Walk of Fame star? I'm going to say yes.
All right.
You know, the only reason I know this is because people keep defacing it.
All right.
They keep having somebody come by and clean off all the dirty words on it all the time.
He got it for The Apprentice.
Is that what? Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, I got to be honest with you. I'm shocked that he has one. What number star is it to be added to the Hollywood's Walk of Fame?
I have no idea. Steve,
you're a movie
fan. What kind of a question is that?
Bill would know.
Around 1,000, right? No? I don't know.
What?
Double and then some.
Is it
2,000
really
and some.
Oh, my God, Steve.
What?
I said double. He said 2,000.
You got it.
2,327th star.
I was going to guess that.
But if he got a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame, doesn't it just water down the process? Because all he was in of star quality for Hollywood standards was The Apprentice. And even that is questionable at best.
Don't they buy those?
Yeah, you have to pay. How did he get the money to buy a star?
I don't know, but we have more later if you want them. These are fun. Getting to know you. Getting to know all
about
Donald
Trump. All right, we'll take a quick break. Steve with the news and then more show coming your way next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Hey, look who's here for a special report.
It's our best friend in the whole world, Ryan Burrow. Hello, Ryan. How are you?
Special reports.
You are going to talk about something right up my alley. I spent a whole weekend involving what you're going to talk about right now.
I feel bad that you spent an entire weekend dealing with light bulbs, but that's the story.
That was exciting, really, in my world.
GE announced today that the CFLs, the compact
CFL.
Fluorescent lights, are on their way out. They're going to stop selling them at the end of the year. They're going to focus on LEDs, which we've known in recent years have been the more expensive ones. But
these are the squiggle bulbs.
Well, the squiggle ones are the CFLs.
Oh, those are the CFLs.
Yes. Those are the CFLs, and those are going bye-bye. Those really kind of hit their peak in about 2007 when about 30% of the light bulbs were sold were the CFLs. There were some problems with it, though. They were a little more expensive, but remember we were told you're getting more energy efficiency out of it. The only problem is they were slow to warm up. You know,
slow to warm up, and they don't fit in every kind of lamp.
And if they break, aren't they dangerous?
And sometimes those dimmers, if you've got a dimmer light, it didn't work there. It wouldn't go up and down.
They look like Mr. Softy.
They did.
The ice cream,
like
the ice cream
that,
truck
though,
guy.
Don't you?
A little bit. It made me want ice cream. Every time I turn the light on, I would get ice cream.
In 2007, Nickelback was on top of the world, and we thought CFLs were here to stay. That's not the case anymore. Yep. We're rolling to the LEDs, at least GE is, and they've come down in price, so that's one of the reasons why they're becoming more affordable, and GE just thinks that's going to be the way to go. CFLs too are having problems with their Energy Star rating. You know how you'd get those Energy Star rate, you might be able to get some kind of discounts, government tax discounts and stuff. They've got chemicals in them that just didn't really work. Some of them had little traces of mercury, so LEDs the way to go. And to be honest with you, the LEDs they're going to start souping these things up. Some of them already have them with little circuit boards inside of them. So these light bulbs are going to be able to dim and get brighter and darker based on maybe the light outside, time of day, things like that.
Oh, they'll adjust to the room that they're in?
Some of them might be able to even get
Not
Wi-Fi
now,
where you can do
but
it.
Eventually.
Some of them right now, if you spend the big bucks, you can do it. But, I mean, eventually we're going to have smart houses, right? And we're going to be able to, you know,
have
put
you been
it
to
all...
our house?
You're going to be able to dim lights whether you're there or not just via your smartphone.
Here's what happened this weekend. I sent, we have hallway lights, the back hallway. We have two stairways. It's an old house.
Yeah.
And
rich people.
I know, that's the servants used to come down the
sure.
back.
Sure, sure, used to.
We didn't have any. But the bulbs burn out, and I said, go to the Home Depot or wherever, Menards, get four packs of just regular incandescent bulbs. I had gotten some a month or two ago. You can get a four pack for, I don't know, $6 or something like that. Well, now they only sell them individually, And it's like $8 for one bulb for the incandescent, just the regular ones we had.
And that's just in a month or two?
Yeah, because they're trying to do away with these bulbs.
Exactly. So there's demand. All the people want the old school stuff, right? Because that's what they know. That's
and
what they love.
And they're doing away with those,
and
right?
And those are going away.
I'm going to hoard all those, Ryan. I'm
exactly.
going to have a big warehouse.
We're going to see you on eBay just selling these things off at $10 a pop.
Do you remember when I first had my first apartment, I got the electric plan where you could turn in, you could get light bulbs.
Yeah, they'd send them to you.
Or you would go pay your bill and you'd pick up light bulbs.
Sure.
Well, they're completely gone. So Jim comes home with these Curlicue ones. And I said, what is this? I put it in and it was like I was a turtle living in an aquarium. It was the weirdest light. It was, and then I looked on it and it said daylight. So that's like outdoor regular daylight in the back hallway. It was
you don't want that.
Yeah. So we put it back in the package, sealed it up, told the people at Home Depot we want to return these, and not what we thought. They returned them, and he got an LED, one LED light bulb. I said, why did you get one? And he said, because they're $10.
Yeah.
And I was worried it was going to be that same indoor aquarium.
Sure.
Here's a little tip to everybody out there. They're allegedly going to last you 9 years.
Yep.
So $10 to last 9 years up in the back hallway where you don't have to get the ladder out. And if you get the warm color as opposed to cool, it looks just like your typical incandescent that you've been buying. So that's my tip.
Sure.
Why would a company make them to last 9 years? They want you to keep buying more and more. That's what keeps them in business.
Well, they'll come down by then, right? Well,
no, they're continuing to come down. Remember, these light bulbs were $30 just a couple years ago. So the value of them has gone down. They become cheaper to make, just like anything, just like TVs, just like laptops. They start off very, very expensive, and then the technology catches up and the prices go down. They become more easily available. So, 9 years, that's quite a commitment, though, right? So you get that light
bulb.
I'm
going to time
it. There you go.
If I don't get 9 years out of that, I am asking for my $10 back.
You better.
It's sucking much less energy than those old incandescents, too.
Someone on my Facebook page said, and I really trust them because they're very smart, they said that they have made the switch to all of the LED lights in their house, and all those LED lights are probably equal to the energy usage of like one incandescent.
Really?
I mean, it's amazing. Somebody said their electric bill came down like 43%.
Wow, that's substantial.
They said some of these LED lights are sucking about 11% of what an incandescent would, so of energy. So that's going to make substantial difference.
All right. Well, we have an electrician on the line that say they are not good. Which are you speaking about, Mike, the CFL or the LEDs?
Well, the CFLs, I know for a fact, don't last as long. Because I put them in my basement, and they seem to go out sooner than either the fluorescent, regular strip fixtures I have, or the incandescents. Now, I've also worked on LEDs at plenty of places, and, you know, if one of those little LED lights go out, you got to, like, replace a whole board, or you got to solder them. You know, I've done them at McCormick Place for, like, the auto shows and stuff like that.
Okay, but just for your house, like, you know, although I'm thinking, do they make them for chandeliers? Because if it's $10 a bulb, I'm going to spend, like, $2,000 buying
just
bulbs.
Just to light it up.
Well, technically, for the LEDs, you really have to buy a whole fixture because LEDs you just can't really replace. It's on a board, and it's, like, in a fixture, so... LEDs you really can't replace.
A light bulb.
The whole bulb.
LED light bulb. A single light bulb. Well, got one, 60 watts.
Okay, I have not used them yet, but like the little LEDs I have, but I'm such a stickler for the old incandescent because I like the flame tip and they got the Yara.
I like that too. Where are we going to get them? Mike, we got to find out where we're going to have to get them out of a van somewhere.
It's all black market.
Well, whenever I go to the Home Depot, or the Menards, no matter what I'm buying, I will stop by and please pick up 2 packs.
All right, well, you better hurry, Mike. Thank you for calling because they're out of them at the Home Depot.
There's going to be guys, shady-looking guys on street corners with big long coats, and they're going to have bulbs inside their jacket pockets. That's what it's turning to.
The way Mike was talking about the board, I thought he was like replacing the ones at Wrigley Field or something like
it
that.
It sounded
well,
like that.
Place, I mean, think about all that would go into that to change them all.
Sandy, you are a lighting expert.
Yes, hi. I'm a designer, and I've been dealing with this issue ever since they change the standards for light bulbs.
Yeah.
So let me just give you a little information. First of all, what the electrician was just talking about, replacing a whole unit, he's talking about something different because there are fixtures like recessed cans that are LED, but that is an entire structure within a can. You can, absolutely can replace a standard, let's say, reflector light bulb.
A single bulb.
LED reflector.
Okay.
Okay. That's number one. Number two, the one thing that people should look for when they're looking for an LED are two things if they're doing inside residential. There is a term called Kelvin, K-E-L-V-I-N, and that denotes the color of the light bulb. So when you said it was daylight,
yes,
that was probably, so the spectrum goes from 5,000, which is like daylight and very harsh, all the way down to 1,000. 2,700 or 3,000 is the one that will mimic your old incandescent. So that's a number to keep in mind. When you go to buy an LED bulb, it will say that on the packet. It'll say 2,700. You know that's the color. Okay, that's the color number that you want to look for if you're looking for a regular incandescent light bulb, if you're replacing that.
When in heaven, go with 2,700. That's how I'll remember it.
Okay, 2,700 to 3,000. The next thing you want to compare, I know this gets complicated.
No. Do we need to know this for the final, by the way, Sandy? Will this be on the final?
This is very helpful.
You're all going to be tested. The second thing you need to convert is, so you'll see on a package of an LED, it'll give you 14 watts or 6 watts. What you really want to compare is a term called lumens, L-U-M-E-N-S. And lumens, so when you turn on a regular 100-watt light bulb, what you're turning on and the brightness is expressed in lumens in a technical way, okay? So when you go to look for an LED, you want to compare the lumens on it. Let's say a 60-watt equivalent would have maybe 800 lumens.
And they usually say on the box, like, this replaces a 60-watt bulb.
It will say right on the box. But even though it's a 60-watt equivalent, they are not all the same. You'll have a 60-watt equivalent that could have 500 lumens. You'll have a 60-watt equivalent that will have 600 lumens.
What do you want?
I want one lumen.
I
don't want it to be too bright. One lumen is fine for me.
One lumen is fine.
Just a little.
He's a minimalist.
Mood lighting.
What's the one you want for the 60 watt?
Well, it depends on how bright you want it. So, I mean, this is, it's easy to replace, like in your lamps. It gets, if you're, so let me just tell you about two things, okay?
30 seconds.
Okay, 30 seconds.
That's 10 lumens.
1,000 bulbs is a website that carries everything you want in light bulbs.
Oh.
You can replace your little chandelier, what are called candelabra bulbs. They have frosted LEDs.
Oh, I love lighting. I got two new chandeliers. This is very exciting.
It's a great website, and I hope I helped somebody out there.
Listen, Sandy, I have to tell you that Bill and Ryan right now are rolling their eyes and they're looking at their watches.
Sandy, you have helped me
tremendously, and there are 10 people on the line that you have helped. So you want 2,700 is the warm color.
For interior, that's the warm color. Look at the lumens.
And how many lumens do you want, roughly? What's a good lumen?
No. It depends on what you're replacing.
Okay.
It depends on what you're replacing. Have a great day.
Thank you, Sandy, so much.
I helped somebody.
You did. You helped many people, not you two.
Although, surprisingly, threw us right under the bus in front of Sandy.
Surprisingly rude for Ryan, I thought.
What?
Didn't you?
What did I do?
And Sandy, if you're listening, Bill did write down the 2,700.
Well, I wrote, I need to buy a slide rule because I don't know what I'm going to do. We're going to take a quick break. More lumen talk. It's illuminating, I tell you.
Luminosity.
Yes, it is. 312-981-7200 is our number. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. I wrote this song for you.
I don't say chandelier like that.
You're supposed to. You're supposed to spread it out. When you say chandelier, you want it to make it last. It's Bill and Wendy, along with Ryan Burrow. Together, we have been called the Illuminati. Why? Because we like to talk about light bulbs. If you're new to the show, that's all we talk about, light bulbs, 4 hours a day.
I got to tell you, a lot of people want to know about these new light bulbs. GE is not selling the CFL bulbs, but
The end of the year, they're going to stop.
They will.
Yes. Yeah. So switch to LED. Someone just said you can get at Menards LEDs $2.50 a bulb.
That's not bad.
So they got 460 waters for $10.
A bargain.
It is. And Aaron is on the line. Aaron, have you changed your lighting?
Yeah, actually. So I actually make custom lighting, and I do custom lamps, and I've recently started switching over to LEDs. I've used LEDs in the past, but the best part about them is they're cool to the touch. Incandescent bulbs, they radiate heat. You know, if you have them too close to something, if the shade is too close to it, it'll burn the shade. How many incandescent light bulbs have burnt houses down? CFL bulbs don't put off as much heat, but they're still hot to the touch. You can't necessarily touch a CFL bulb.
Just like you, Bill.
Thank you.
An LED bulb, they're cool to the touch. And it works out good for me because I've created pieces that I've used LED strips. You know, instead of bulbs, I've used it's almost like a tape that has an LED every, three-quarters of an inch or so.
And no heat being emanated from it.
Right, no heat being radiated off of it, so I can use it in ways and put it against fabric and, have the light that comes off of the LED. The LED creates kind of like a blade of light on what I do, as opposed to a CFL, which kind of glows. So LEDs are definitely the wave of the future.
Aaron, what's your website? If people want to see your work, where can they see it?
Facebook/AHDidIt, Instagram, Twitter, all the social media, Etsy. I've got pieces available on Etsy.
Excellent.
I love Etsy.
Thank you.
AHDidIt, right?
That's right.
All right, cool. Thank you, Aaron.
Ryan, how will this affect my light bright performance? I like to do a lot of work on light bright. How will this affect
minimal impact.
Okay,
minimal
good.
Impact.
That's good news.
Now you'll be able to keep working away at that Mickey Mouse or whatever you're putting together over there.
Thank you.
All right, 219, I thought I was doing a favor for my daughter and replaced those new bulbs. Several were out, and vanity lights, the regular round vanity lights. My grandson told me his dad said they use more electricity. I don't know what happened to me. I got an accent. Electricity, chandelier.
That's what happened. You've been listening to too much Sia music.
So the lady who just, Sandy, I think her name was, helped me. I'm going to replace them while they are on vacation with newer bulbs. And everybody's wondering about that website that Sandy mentioned, and it's 1000bulbs.com. And it's the number, 1000bulbs.com.
Ryan, I have a cousin who we call a dim bulb. Will that affect him at all, do you think?
Maybe. By the end of the year.
By year's end.
It's actually pretty funny how GE rolled this out, by the way. They wrote in the spirit of Valentine's Day, which is coming up, they wrote a, we're breaking up, essentially, with CFLs. Yeah,
oh,
and they
funny.
Said that, sorry, but LED is our future.
Oh.
Love.
It's the changing world.
So, yeah.
Wow.
All right, well, look around, because on this 1000bulbs.com, what is that, $299?
Mm-hmm.
$299 for one bulb. I don't know why my husband paid $10.
I think the pirates got to him.
Well, he
or
didn't
something.
Have to pay shipping, so maybe that
no, I know,
saved
but
you a little bit of money.
And I will tell you this, it's really weird when you turn the light on. It's like a delayed reaction. It's
really?
it just like kind of
slowly
comes
to life.
And then it turns off like that too. It's kind of
neat.
Does
that take some getting used to a little bit?
Not really.
No?
I mean, it happens, but it's still way better than that aquarium light that I got.
Yeah.
Those CFLs gone. What was the danger? Was there?
There was a little bit of mercury in some of
that. Just a little bit ain't gonna hurt anybody.
It's just mercury. Absolutely. Ryan Burrow, I say this all the time. You light up our lives. You already know that. You give us hope to carry on.
Are you swinging from the chandelier here?
Thank you, Ryan.
Who is that? Sia?
That's Sia.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about her.
She didn't say about it. She was in an LED chandelier, though.
Right.
That's what we were really hoping for.
That's
he never pulled that song out. Yeah.
All right. We've got news next. Thanks, Ryan. And
Lumens.
Then more show. It's 7-1-D-N-W-G-N. WGN. The light bulb segment of our show, by the way, the most popular segment we've ever done, ever.
I'm not kidding.
I can't believe it.
I told you. I had a light bulb weekend.
Yes.
It involved my whole weekend. People were saying There are a couple of problems. The incandescent light bulbs are going away slowly but surely.
Mm-hmm.
And now the CFL bulbs are...
Salute to Larry Lujak, obviously.
They're going to be gone by the end of the year. So you have to go LED. But here's some interesting things. LED, which we learned on the air from an artist named Aaron, they don't heat up.
Right.
So... He's on cross on stoplights and stuff now.
Yeah.
The snow doesn't melt anymore because the lights don't get hot.
Right. That's true.
Somebody's worried about their Easy Bake Oven. If incandescent lights go away, what will they do? What about the lava light?
How will this affect Uncle Fester? You know, he does that thing where he puts the light bulb to his mouth and blows on it, and then the light bulb glows. Will that still happen? I don't know.
The lava lamp, though, that seriously needs to be heated up in order for it to work.
Is this the end of lava lamps? I hope not.
No.
I hope not.
But I'm telling you, hoard the incandescents.
I bet the lava lamp thing becomes a big issue at further debates. I bet. You'll see. Turn on your lumens.
Somebody wants to know if you have to squeeze a lumen to check for freshness.
You don't have to. You can. It's
good to know. You are goofy.
I didn't think you said we got to talk about light bulbs. I'm like, all right, I guess
I know
we
you
can,
laughed
but
at me.
No one's going to want to hear this. And then we got 1,000 texts.
And thanks to Sandy who called in. And again, that website is 1000bulbs.com, the number 1000bulbs.com.
Yeah.
They're inexpensive. I'm sure you can look around and find them. Menards had it and Costco. People were saying things. But somebody saw an LED light bulb, 160 watt for $29.99.
Hmm.
So look around, and somebody was on their way right now to buy light bulbs and listen to Sandy. And
sure.
We helped many.
Everyone's helped by this. Earlier in the show, we were talking about Donald Trump. He's running for president, for those
he
of you
is?
Who didn't know. Yeah, he's running for the presidency. And you were giving fun facts about Donald Trump, and one of them was that one of his wives, Ivana, was a former athlete. And you said, I don't know what sport Ivana was involved in. I did a little research. No cost to you, by the way.
Ivana No, is that where you went?
IvanaKnow.com, which is your one-stop shopping headquarters for Ivana Trump facts. IvanaKnow.com. Only open till 10 p.m., strangely.
Really?
On the internet. Yeah, closes at 10 p.m. You don't see that a lot. So it turns out that when she was young in Czechoslovakia, she was a ski instructor. She was a skier and a ski instructor. And Donald Trump apparently met her at some ski event. And you know how these things happen. Wendy, they fell in love.
I don't know how that. I've never skied in my life.
Yep, when you ski, you fall in love. So they did, and they were married for a while and have three children. But there's your answer.
Do you want to know how he does his hair?
Can I guess? Haphazardly? Would that be safe to assume? How?
I got to tell you this. When Donald Trump wakes up and looks in the mirror, he looks different. His remarkable hairline is achieved after blow-drying his hair all forward.
Right.
And then he combs it backwards because it gives him lift.
There's a tip for you kids out there that want to look like Donald Trump. That's the one two-step of how to make your hair look like that.
And he never smoked, ever. A cigarette.
Never drank and never smoked.
I did not know that about him. He has never smoked cigarettes, drank alcohol, or done drugs. His older brother, Fred, was an alcoholic for many years and warned Trump to avoid drinking. Fred ultimately died from his addiction.
Hmm. So he learned from that. Good. That's good. I didn't know any of that about him. And we've been bombarded with Donald Trump facts the last couple of months.
I know.
So, all right, valuable. Wendy, there's a terrible, terrible story of something two college kids did out in Virginia. I saw it on the news last night. I was horrified by the story. We've got Kenneth Moton from ABC News to break the story down for us. If you don't know it, prepare to be just chilled because it's one of those things that you hear and you go, human beings don't do this sort of thing, but they do sometimes. We'll take a quick break and then we'll talk to Kenneth Moton from ABC News in just a little bit. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. All right, a chilling story involving a pair of Virginia Tech students and the child that they kidnapped. On the line with us right now from ABC News, Kenneth Moton, to tell us this awful, awful story. Kenneth, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Bill and Wendy.
All right, so what happened? Bill, you were telling me about this earlier. I had not heard of the story. Does social media come into play at all?
You know what? At this point, we do believe social media is coming into play, but we are still waiting to find out a motive. Just to break it down for you guys, just an incredibly sad story of 13-year-old Nicole Lovell, this Blacksburg teenager who she disappeared Wednesday night between midnight and 7 a.m. That was the last time she was seen. She disappeared. Search parties were organized. Police reports obviously taken. Police are searching for this girl. Fast forward to Saturday morning over the weekend, authorities in North Carolina found her body, found her remains about 80 miles away from Blacksburg. The police investigation quickly led to two Virginia Tech students, freshmen, one of them 18-year-old by the name of Eisenhower. David Eisenhower has been charged with first-degree murder. Used his relationship with her to look out of her home and then later kill her. The other person who was charged, Natalie Keepers, a Tech student, she had been
I can't believe that an 18-year-old, it just sickens me that a kid at any age, I'm speechless. I really am. This 13-year-old kid left to meet this 18-year-old. And who does this to people?
Exactly, Wendy. And we know that through charging affidavits that that there was on the lines of some type of quote from Eisenhower of the truth will set me free. And they authorities say they were able to get a some corroborating and I hesitate on saying the word confession because police haven't said confession, but they said there were details that led to this murder charge, and that the phrase "the truth will set me free" was said as he was being interrogated over the weekend. And they won't even give us the details about how what led to and the what in the investigation led them to this young man. But I can tell you this: David Eisenhower, Natalie Keepers, these suspects in this case. These are two young people who have very bright futures ahead. I mean, you know, they were engineering students. They were smart. They both were from the D.C. area here, here in Maryland, Columbia and Laurel, Maryland. And they were just very well known by their communities. They're well known by their communities. And so many people are just in shock right now, not only in Blacksburg, but in this community where these kids are from.
We had a little bit of a technical glitch in our system here. And Kenneth Moten on the line with us, ABC News correspondent. And unfortunately, we did not hear a lot of your account of the situation. But a 13-year-old girl, Nicole Lovell, she had some bullying going on at school, and it says a liver transplant. What?
Right. So her mother said that this was a girl who she survived. You know, she survived a liver transplant. She had a scar on her neck that made her a victim of bullying. And so this was a girl who had self-esteem issues and problems. And so we know what happens when teenagers get online. They could be their minds, obviously, they could be taken advantage of.
And this 18-year-old David Eisenhower said, you know, hey, you're pretty cute. Let's hook up. And she left sometime between midnight and 7 a.m. And then her body was found later. And we didn't hear what this 19-year-old Natalie Keeper, she was also involved with this.
Right. The police say at this point that the charges against Natalie Keepers are the improper disposal of a body, an accessory after the fact. So they don't believe that she committed the murder. They believe that was solely done by David Eisenhower, this 18-year-old from the D.C. area, and that he used his relationship to, quote, take advantage of this 13-year-old girl.
Do we know at this point, Kenneth, was David representing himself as an 18-year-old, or was he leading this girl to believe that he was roughly her age?
That is a great question. At this point, we only know what police have told us, and that is all under investigation. We don't know if this was some type of catfishing incident. We hear so much these days about catfishing, misrepresenting yourself online. We don't know if that was the case. We do know that there were some posts on her social media where there were either some images or his name, where she said, this is my new boyfriend. There was definitely a relationship there in the sense of they had talked online. She was possibly smitten with him. We know, I mean, teenagers, period, how this could happen. And that's why, you know, authorities are also quick to say, just a reminder for parents, you know, it sounds so, like, it sounds that you wouldn't have to do this.
Sure.
But I can't help but to say you have to do it even more these days of, you know, reminding parents to talk to their children, to be open and honest about the dangers of meeting someone through so many social media apps and forums. And where something like this could happen, where this girl thought she was going to be safe by leaving her home in the middle of the night, and obviously that didn't turn out to be the case.
We know that David Eisenhower will be charged with kidnapping and first-degree murder. Are there sexual assault charges as well, or do we not know yet?
At this point, that has not been one of the charges, and even though we have questioned that is not something investigators have any type of information they've released at this point, but an autopsy is being done.
Yeah.
This is horrifying. I have a 13-year-old son, and you don't think that they're that naive at 13 to leave the home, but my son has said, you know, oh, I met this kid online. He lives in... I can't remember. It was like an hour away. Do you think we could hook up for lunch sometime? I said, no, I don't think so. And Dylan put me on the line with this kid's mother. Like, just, oh, hi, you have a son too? And it honestly made me feel better, first of all, that my son is communicating to me about people he meets online. And second of all, that the mom got on and she was kind of confused about it too.
Yeah.
These 13, it's amazing with, you know, all these Xbox One and everything. They can communicate with everyone anywhere in the world.
Yeah, but so many people misrepresent themselves.
Oh, it's disgusting.
It's dangerous. So what happens next, Kenneth? This is just such a horrific story, but what's the next move here?
Well, today, both Keepers and Eisenhower, they were both in jail. They heard the charges against them. Both didn't have a chance to enter a plea because we're not at that stage just yet. They both have attorneys, and they'll be in court again on March 28th, where we're expecting to get a few more details, maybe even possibly a motive in this crime.
And I think when we were having some static on our end, her body was found Saturday in North Carolina, 4 days after she left home, according to police. And I don't know if we heard, how did they link this David Eisenhower and Natalie Keepers to this murder?
Police won't say exactly how, but from our folks on the ground in Blacksburg, from talking to investigators, we believe there was obviously some type of social media, digital component of the two corresponding. We know that there were posts on her Facebook page and her Instagram and other social media mediums there. And so we know there was that type of connection, and police will say that they had a relationship and that he took advantage of that relationship.
Frightening and just horrific. I mean, Wendy's a parent and I'm a parent. I can't speak for you, Kenneth, but it's the one thing that scares you more than anything is just the unknown like that. It's just, it's an awful, awful story. We appreciate you being here though.
Thank you guys.
That's Kenneth Moten from ABC News. Telling the story that, I'm watching this last night and I'm just getting sick to my stomach as the details were unraveling. It's just terrible.
But you really, I mean, you don't think someone's going to fall for that. But this poor little girl was bullied.
She's, I would have to say, after all she's been through, a fairly easy mark. You would think she's so susceptible and wants to make a friend so badly. So maybe a little more trusting, a lot more trusting than she should have been.
Face to face, you know, you should only meet people face to face and not online.
Yeah, there's something to that, right? Awful. All right, here's the plan. We will take a quick break. Steve will give you the news, and then we have a lot more show coming your way. So stick around. It's Bill
Left.
A little bit more, 34 minutes more. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
I saw this part of Grease.
Girl, crazy for me.
You saw this last night?
No, the original.
When it was in the movie theaters.
Yeah, it was Olivia Newton-John Travolta.
Yeah. My family and I accidentally watched Grease last night.
Nice
we had no
one.
Intention. We didn't mean to. We were watching something, and it was over, and we were switching around, and I thought, let's just watch 30 seconds of this and see what it looks like. And then, like, an hour and 45 minutes later.
Really?
Yeah. It was way better than I thought it would be. It wasn't great. It wasn't fantastic, but it was impressive to watch, and the fact that it was live, and the fact that there were so many sets, huge, monster-sized sets, like, not just... the gymnasium where they were doing the school dance
the
and not
gymnasium?
Just
gymnasium.
Yeah, that's what the kids call it. The
I
gymnasium.
I know, it was just
funny. And there was a drive-in movie theater. It was all the stuff you saw in a movie, but it being done live. And then they even showed when an actor was done in one scene and then outside, because they filmed it all at a big movie studio. So they would run outside, like say they were at the gym set and they were doing the dance. They'd quickly run outside and change their clothes while they got on a tram, and it would race
them.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Was it raining at all? Because I know that they had talked about it was going to be outside, and rain could add to it, perhaps?
It didn't look like it was raining during the production, but the ground was pretty wet, like where they were dancing. And, you know, as a dancer yourself,
yes.
That's where the danger is. When you're dancing, you don't want the ground to be slick. But
no.
I did enjoy, I mean, really, I didn't expect to watch it, much less enjoy it. And I went, oh, let's keep watching this. This isn't bad. I liked it.
How did it end?
I've really not seen the whole thing of Grease. I'm not going to ruin it for anybody. I can't do that. But a quick side story or two. There's a girl, do you remember in the movie version, there's a woman who's like their shop teacher who helps the boys build the Grease Lightning car. And it was Alice Ghostly from Bewitched in the movie. So in this, they show an actress doing it. She's singing the songs and dancing the dances. And I'm like, ah, she looks so familiar. Why do I know that woman? And I even said to my wife, I said to Terry, who is that? Because at one point, she looked like Hillary Clinton. And I go, is Hillary Clinton playing this part? Because that's a nice little
boost
right before the Iowa caucuses. You know who it was? Eve Plum.
As Jan? Eve Plum as Jan?
Yeah, it was her.
Really?
I didn't expect that. I didn't know she was in it. And there were a bunch of people like Anna Gasteyer from Saturday Night Live.
Love her.
She played the Eve Arden part.
Perfect role for her.
The guys who sang Beauty School Dropout, instead of it just being Frankie Avalon, there's three guys, and I just threw it out. I go, who's that Boys to Men? Like, I'm just messing around. It was Boys to Men.
Like you didn't know you're president of their fan club.
Vice president.
I'm sorry.
On a sad note, Vanessa Hudgens, who was in it, her dad had died the night before, and she still went on and did the show. Like, a lot of people would have been so emotional and affected. I don't know how she pulled it off, because she was very, very good. But after learning that her dad had succumbed to cancer just hours or a day before, she still decided on with the show, and she did it. So I can't imagine how tough that must have been for her.
At the end of the show, dedication was aired to her father, and the credits it read in loving memory of Greg Hudgens.
Yeah, at the very end.
At that point, what do you do? I mean, her not going.
She's been rehearsing since November, but still, I'm sure that was weighing heavily on her mind all throughout the production. But where I give it big, big points, because, I mean, there was a couple of flaws. There were problems with the sound, but we've had that on the show today. Nobody's perfect. But overall, I was just so impressed by the magnitude of it all. Just the fact that there were so many extras and the sets were so huge. And for the most part, it went off, like I said, a minor hitch every now and then. But it was really impressive.
But what was the hitch? I mean, really?
There was some sound problems. There was a part of one of the, it was just muffled, Devoted to You. You couldn't hear the band.
Well, you could hear the vocals?
You could still hear the vocals, yeah.
Somebody said, and holy cow, did Juliana Huff look good in those satin pants.
She is
adorable.
She was great. Like, you know she can dance because she's on the dance show, but she's a really good singer. And you know, they don't make Olivia Newton-Johns anymore, Wendy. They just stopped making them.
But she did
a nice job.
Doesn't Olivia Newton-John have a daughter with Matt Latanzi?
Yeah, she does, actually. And good for knowing Matt Latanzi. From the motion picture classic,
maybe, but...
My Tutor.
Yeah, well,
Fantastic in My Tutor?
I didn't even know he was ever in a movie.
He was so good.
He was cute and had great feathered hair.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I guess she could have reprised her mom's role, but I don't know who you would have got to do as good of a job as Juliana Hough. She did a great job.
Bill says 847. It was great. I wasn't going to watch it either. Missed Good Wife.
It's the weirdest thing. I had, like, if you had said to me an hour beforehand, you'll probably watch Grease. I'd go, I don't think so. But once it was on, I'm like, all right, let's see what they can do. And I was impressed by it.
I caught Jim watching Peter Pan when that first thing happened. And who played it?
Allison Williams.
Right.
The stunning Allison Williams.
I think last time I said that you have a crush on her, you're like, not for air.
It's possible. Who
can stunning.
Keep track?
But I came down and Jim was like an hour into the Peter Pan musical when it happened. I said, what are you doing? He goes, being thoroughly entertained.
It's very hard once you're in that mindset of music can just happen out of nowhere. Like once you accept that, because in real life, people rarely break in song. But when you see it, you go, all right, I can bend reality for a minute.
I'm going to try and do that more often. I want my life, my day to be a musical.
Well, they're going to do, you have a chance here, because they're going to do more of these, because every time they've done one, I don't think any of them have done poorly in the ratings. I know they did well last night.
Yeah.
Do you have the numbers?
I did. Let me find it. Hang on. I don't know what I did.
But they've done four of these so far, and every one of them has done well in the ratings. So even though you think, wow, as a culture, we've moved beyond that, we're not into the musicals anymore. Every time they do one on TV, people love it. They watch it and they love it.
I told you the one I wanted was West Side Story. And
they should do West Side Story.
Jesus Christ Superstar. Those would be my two favorites.
Both of them would be fun to watch.
That would be fun. Early numbers give the Fox telecast a big showing, rivaling NBC's The Sound of Music with younger viewers.
Yeah.
Grease will be the word in the halls of Fox this week.
Yes.
The network's three-hour live telecast was a ratings success. Nielsen has the performance averaging 12.2 million viewers.
That's pretty good.
And a handsome 4.3 rating among adults 18 to 49.
That's pretty good.
Why were you watching then?
Just to balance it out. Just to show some diversity. You know what this means? Grease 2 any day now. They'll start doing Grease 2.
Who was in that?
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Oh, that's right.
And Maxwell Caulfield.
Wow.
How about that?
Did he have any links to
he
anyone
was married
famous?
Victoria
Principal.
No, he's married. I don't know if he's still married, but he was married to the girl from Nanny and the Professor to Nanny.
Juliet Mills?
Yeah. They were married. I don't know if they still are, but they were for forever.
Is she still alive?
Yeah.
Well, at least now she is.
You seem disappointed in that.
No. I just am scared to bring up names we haven't brought up in a long time.
And I bring up names and then they die.
I hesitate to bring this name up, but you know, you said you were kind of surprised when all of a sudden, lo and behold, Eve Plum was in the Grease musical.
Right.
Was she billed? Did you have any idea? No billing?
No, there were a couple people in it. Like Dee Dee Khan was in it from the original movie. She played a different part in it. There were a bunch of people. I had no idea. We were watching. I'm like, wait. She's in it, and he's in it, and that guy's in it. One of the Jonas Brothers was in it. Mario Lopez was in it.
Where isn't Mario Lopez?
Mario Lopez
in
played
my
the
pants.
Mario Lopez played the part that now they're not going to ask you to do Grease 2 now.
That's
I hope
right.
You're happy. he played the part that Ed Burns played. Ed Cookie Burns played in the movie version of it.
I don't really know.
Vince Fontaine. Remember, he's the one who comes. He's got his own TV show. It's like American Bandstand, and he comes to Rydell High.
I
remember
didn't
any
see
of that?
The whole part of it.
You didn't see all? Oh, you didn't see? You?
I saw bits and pieces of Grease. I'm sorry.
No Grease, no Sound of Music.
West Side Story. The
I
Wiz.
Know.
Jesus Christ Superstar.
Those are all good, but if you want
to
be an aficionado.
I went to La Traviata.
All right. That's a step in the right direction. That's all good stuff.
I don't know. Mary Poppins, she seemed like a prude.
So if we have Julie Andrews on the show, will you tell her the honest truth that you've never seen some of her finest work?
Don't book her, Kevin. But I was saying you were surprised to see Eve Plum. I love Portlandia. I don't know if you've watched
I've
it.
I've seen a few episodes.
It sucks you in. I got to admit, the first time or two, it was like, this is crazy, weird, and slow moving.
I like both of them a lot, but the two episodes I saw didn't do anything for me.
I absolutely love it. And I was watching it, and there was an episode called 3D Printer.
Yeah.
And it's worth a watch. McLaughlin plays the mayor.
Yeah.
There's one point, Brad and his parents in the scene. And I'm like, God, who is his dad? His dad is so funny. He looks familiar. I'm not sure who it is. And then I honestly watched the whole episode and I couldn't figure it out. And at the very end, you see the credits. It was Mike Nesmith.
Of the Monkees.
Yes.
Really?
And he was really funny.
He is really funny.
That coming from when I went to Nashville over the summer, and we went to this big, huge Nashville Country Music Hall of Fame concert, and some of the session musicians were there. Al Cooper from Blood, Sweat, and Tears did a lot of work early in the Nashville years. Charlie Daniels came up on stage.
Yeah.
All these like pretty great people. And then all of a sudden, Michael Nesmith comes up on stage, which now he goes by Michael Nesmith. And he got up, didn't really seem to be happy to be there, sang with his back to the audience, and then after his song, he left.
He sang,
I know,
not facing the audience?
It was like heartbreaking to me.
What would be in it for him to do that? Why would a guy not face the audience while he's performing?
I mean, he was in an all-star jam with a bunch of great session musicians, and he did some early, early country music in the Hall of Fame in the early years. So maybe he was looking at his buddies that were on stage, but he, I mean, like Mr. Showbiz, he was not. So it was really weird to see him on Portlandia being really funny.
I'm trying to think of why a guy would make a conscious decision to not face the audience.
No, he got up there, he said hello, wasn't really that happy to be there.
Did he say that?
No, but you could tell by his face.
Hi, everybody. I'd rather be anywhere but here.
It sure seemed like it. He did one song, cut out of there, and, you know, at least Charlie Daniels
faced the audience.
And he was crazy. But, I mean, he was like, Charlie Daniels had a show that night. So he, like, came helicoptering in, did his one song, and left. But Mike Nesmith, it was like, yeah, whatever. I'm out of whiteout.
He did that joke because his mom invented
he was wearing white.
His mom invented the whiteout.
He didn't do that joke, but he just really...
hat or no wool hat?
No hat.
No wool hat.
No,
Maybe that's the wool hat helps him with his bearings. Maybe when he has the wool hat on, he knows which direction to point. When he doesn't have the hat on, he's all discombobulated.
Yeah, I forgot to tell you that when we saw that concert.
That's the weirdest thing. I've never heard of a guy. And actually, when I used to do stand-up, I would kid, like if I was emceeing, as I was introducing an act and they would come on, I'd whisper to them, don't forget to face the audience. Just as a joke, because everybody knows.
He was not, and this was a big all-star event. It was their new Bob Dylan, Johnny Cash exhibit, and there was this all-star jam in front of the Country Music Hall of Fame, and it was free, and it's just something that really wouldn't happen here.
No.
Because it wasn't really crowded. It was right across from where the Preds play.
Oh.
And, I forgot to tell you, Michael Nesmith comes up wearing all white, just, hey, how's it going? Sings a song, not really looking at us, and thank you very much, off the stage.
That's crazy.
I know, he was a monkey.
That's very disappointing.
Very funny on Portlandia, though.
Despite all that, did he face the camera?
No, that was the weirdest thing.
Little break, more show, Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Boogie with us.
Yeah, please boogie with us. I'm going to warn you right now. I'm going to tell you a story, but it's irresponsible journalism. You know, they teach you in journalism class. They teach you to tell who, what, when, where, and why in every story. You want to know who's involved and where it all took place and when it all happened and stuff like this. This is a terrible story. But it doesn't tell me in the story, because I've read it over twice now. It doesn't tell us exactly where it happened. It doesn't even tell us remotely where it happened. It just tells us that it happened. So know that this story I'm about to tell you took place here on the planet Earth. That's all you need to know. There's a cyclist, and her name is Femke van der Driech. Femke van der Driech. So I'm guessing by that name it took place somewhere in the Manchurian region.
Wasn't there an actress, Femke
Jensen? Yeah.
Nikita, what was her role?
She was in X-Men.
La Femme Nikita?
No, I don't think that was what she was in. She was in X-Men. She's not La Femme Nikita, I don't believe, is she? I don't think so. She cheated in a big bike race. This is a preliminary for the Tour de France, which I know where that takes place. That's in France.
Wow.
But she cheated because she had a motor installed inside one of her wheels that made the bike move on its own.
That's genius.
So she didn't have to pedal. Here's the story. This is out of SB Nation. That's the website that refuses to tell you where stories take place. Cycling has the best cheating. Other sports might try to step to the head by having deflated balls and recorded practices, but nothing compares to having a motor installed that's supposed to be propelled by a person. Femke Vendedrich was forced to withdraw from the under-23 race at the Cyclocross World Championships when officials made a curious discovery while inspecting her bike following mechanical problems. A motor had been mounted inside the bicycle with cables and housing found under the bike's saddle. Vendedrich was a favorite in the race. If I was still gambling, that's who gets my money. Femke Vendedrich, the girl with the motorbike. She was a favorite in the race and claims, this is my favorite part, this is the world now. If they catch you doing something, this is what you do. She had no idea that the motor was inside of her bicycle.
Who put that there?
Right. We've all had that happen. You buy a bike, you ride it for a while, then you realize that somebody's put a motor inside, hides a motor inside the wheel of your bike. That's common.
Who would do that?
Well, she says, you know, Femke Vendedrich, you know how she is. She says that she purchased it from a friend.
Who put a motor in it.
Right. It's not fun when you are, this is, I'm doing the voice of Femke Vendedrich, and not very well. My impression of her isn't what it should be. It's not fun when you are accused of something.
A little higher.
But I would never cheat. I really like cycling, and I love my sport. I just don't like pedaling.
I don't either. I am so with her.
Right. Bicycle riding is a lot more fun when the pedals do the work for you. But I love my sport, and I realize now I have a very big problem. That big problem is mechanical fraud, and that carries stiff penalties, depending on how cycling's governing body rules. This isn't the first time that cyclists have been accused of using motors to cheat. It was rumored that Tour de France competitor Chris Froome used a motor on stage 14 of a world-famous race. Don't you see? I mean, I'm trying to think about how you could possibly hide that in a wheel. I guess in that fender part, you might be able to hide a small motor, I guess.
Yeah, or you could hide it. It was definitely in the wheel area.
Yeah.
Because it looked like, you know, the sprocket. Can we dance?
Now's the time on sprockets when we dance.
You know, that the round piece that the pedals are connected to, I don't know what that's called. Like, it looks like a faceplate.
Yeah.
It seems like that would be easy to put a motor there.
But
you're not pedaling. You just go through the boat.
You would say like pedaling, moving your leg. But they probably weren't even on the pedals. She was just moving them just to make her body move. I'm pedaling.
Is that what she sounds like?
Yeah. Yes.
All right. Well, that's a crazy idea.
But I love that they catch her.
Do you hear it?
It would make some kind of a humming noise. But I just love the gall of being caught, and then she goes, "No, I bought this from my friend. I don't understand."
Evel Knievel Jr.
I guess so. All right, a break, and then not that much more show as we turn it over to Ro and Anna, who are in Iowa. That's coming up in just a little bit. Bill and Wendy now on WGN.